Thanks, Steve. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. And in keeping with Lady Gaga's performance last night, Wendy was airlifted into the studio at a cost that no one can even begin to tabulate. That was an impressive opening.
That was more than what it cost to air a Super Bowl spot. But thank you for that. That was invigorating and fun.
All right. Question number one is this. If you were a member of the Atlanta Falcons, how much sleep didn't you get last night? Didn't you just lay in bed? If you were a football player with an Atlanta Falcon jersey or Atlanta Falcon logo, you laid in bed last night going, how did that slip away?
But see, now one of my sons said, boy, they just, you know, what they fizzled. Did they really fizzle or did all of a sudden the Patriots show up?
It was a combination of both of those things. There was also the element of every single thing. Every single thing went the Patriots' way.
Everything.
You saw it, Steve?
Oh, my. It just was unbelievable.
Like one after another, you go, if any one of those things didn't happen the way it happened, you don't have the outcome you had.
Because there were key mistakes or misplays by the Falcons, but you didn't get the sense that they choked.
Right.
No.
You know? Right. The game literally just slipped out of their fingertips.
Mm.
It was, listen, I don't really like football, and that's because it's boring when you watch the Bears play. I mean, it has really taken my thunder away.
Right.
I don't watch Bears games anymore.
Right.
I hear it in the background because Jim still tries to watch it.
Yeah.
And to me, that sound of the football field makes me take a nap really well.
Mm-hmm.
But after watching last night's football game, that's one of the most exciting football games I think I have ever watched in my life.
It was. And how ironic is it that it happens right after, and it's easy for us to say here in Chicago because, you know, a lot of Cubs fans, but that may have been the best World Series finish
of all time.
And then you got the best Super Bowl finish of all time.
So looking for the best hockey game of all time when we go for the Stanley Cup again.
Let's bring that on.
You know, I was watching it, and I'm not a Patriots guy, you know, don't like the Patriots. And I realized how petty that is because they are so good.
Yeah, they are.
And Brady, you know, they were down 16 points, a little more than two touchdowns, really.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I don't know how you felt, Bill, but I'm like, he's going to win this game.
Yeah.
They are going to win this game.
Yep. Yep.
The Falcons, you meant?
No, the Patriots.
The Patriots. He's Tom Brady, and there's a handful of guys that have that kind of leadership ability, not just leadership ability, but the skill to back it up. Peyton Manning was certainly one of those guys who you just go, they're down, but I've seen this guy do it too many times. He didn't even look like normally your normal human being would go, well, we got this far, but today was not our day. But he didn't have that look ever.
Well, you can't have that look.
In the first half, they're saying no team has ever come down from 14. Like, are you kidding me?
Right, right.
You got to spot him 30.
Well, they showed there was a stat where teams leading as the fourth quarter entered by a certain amount of points, was it 93-0? Like, no team had ever blown that kind of a lead in the fourth quarter. But then you go, all right, that's a stat, but I know what we're dealing with here. It's Tom Brady. How about the show? They showed this thing where they showed New England on one side of the screen and Atlanta on the other, and they showed how many championships New England had won in basketball, hockey, football, and baseball versus Atlanta. So New England was it in the 40s, and Atlanta was one.
Yeah.
The one Atlanta Brave team won the World Series.
I thought the Falcons were going to do it. I really did. Even before the game started. And then as you're watching it, I was taunting the Patriots and Tom Brady.
Were you?
I just don't want to like him. I don't know why.
Why do you think? Tell me why you think.
Because he's just... I thought he was just a conceited blowhard.
He is... There is some conceit to Tom Brady. However...
He can deliver.
He backs it up.
I know.
Like, there's so many guys in sports... Jay Cutler, I hope you're listening, who have this cocky attitude and don't have the back it up. He's got the back it up.
Which I realized, and then it's like, okay, he won me over.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan, I thought, was doing... He looked so tiny to me.
He did.
Didn't
you know,
he?
But what a great game, not except for one sack.
Right.
Know?
Yeah.
One sack, and...
Yeah,
I was yelling that they should have been running the ball there, but
they, without a doubt, if they had to do it over again, you run the ball. You just stay in the area you are. If you're going to lose a yard or two, lose a yard or two, but
kick a field goal, win the game.
There were some key mistakes in that fourth quarter. Now here's another question: Joe Buck is often maligned. People just don't like Joe Buck. They didn't like him doing the baseball games. They don't like him doing.
He's a conceited blowhard too. With not much to back
up. But like, as I'm listening to the game, I go, He does everything you're supposed to do.
He did okay yesterday, and here's why I say that, because I didn't realize it was him for a while.
Oh, you didn't?
Had you known.
Then, I would have been hating on him.
Here's what I noticed last night, because, you know, through the Cubs filter of does he like them, does he not, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's what he did with the World Series. He tries to capture the excitement, so he is seems to be favoring the team that is doing well. You know what I mean? Because that's where the enthusiasm is. And you could hear that last night. It
you
was
know,
all
he
Atlanta,
does that,
all
Steve.
Atlanta, and then it became all Patriots.
He does that, and I think most good sports announcers do that. They tend to
sure.
they hype up the team.
Yeah.
However, he still lets you know that this one ain't over. There was always that undercurrent of, one team, the Falcons, were doing everything right. The other team, the Patriots, were not. But it's far from over. I mean, there was always that kind of a feel. And I don't know what else you do. If I'm Joe Buck, I go, why do people not like me? He does everything you're supposed to do well, I think.
The one thing that bugged me, he said, is something about this ball game. And I don't like that in a football game. It didn't match. I know.
That's why people don't like him, Bill, because there's so many different things
you're right.
that bother people.
No, I guess.
It's not a ball game. It's a football game.
It
sounded funny when he said, well, this ball game ain't over, or whatever it was.
Right.
But he said ball game. And I'm like, no, that's wrong.
Right. Correct. Now, can I share a very non-football moment with you from the game last night? There was something that happened during the game. And actually,
should we take a break?
Let's take a very quick break, and then I will tell you the most interesting non-football moment that happened during the football game. I'll explain it just a little bit. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. All right, here's what I saw last night.
Super Bowl wrap-up with Bill and Wendy and Steve Bertrand.
At first, I thought, I'm probably the only one who noticed this, but then I went to the internet. And many other people noticed this. Here's what it was. Sometime in either the third quarter or the fourth quarter, I can't remember when, but late in the game, they showed you the celebrities that were attending the Super Bowl. You had John Travolta. You had Elton John. You had John Legend. If your name was John and you were a celebrity, you got to go to the Super Bowl. That's something they started doing yesterday. So they're showing all these celebrities. And next to John Legend is his wife, Chrissy Teigen.
Right.
They're as adorable as they can possibly be. They're hugging. They're very much in love. They're enjoying the game.
He kissed her when the camera came on.
He kissed her.
Cheek kiss.
Yeah. Yeah. Show business kiss. She's wearing a jacket and a mesh shirt. And when she leans over, you saw it all. There it was.
I didn't notice that.
Let me tell you something, Wendy. By the sixth or seventh time that I watched it, I said to myself, this is no big deal. Yes, it's a little bit brisk. There in the stadium, but this is no big deal. But all the revelry that came with the Janet Jackson episode, there was none of that about Chrissy Teigen. People just accepted it.
Well, because she wasn't performing.
I guess.
Well, she was performing in a sense.
Right, right. But how about that?
I missed that. I was Jimmy Mack saw it.
I thought it was just me. I go, am I seeing more than I think I'm seeing? But then, thanks to the internet, we got it in our house now. I looked it up, and other people are like, hey, what? Woo!
Steve, did you notice?
No, I'm going to.
I know, I'm Googling it now.
Steve is on pay-per-view right now.
I was just checking the weather forecast.
I only saw her the one time. They kept showing her?
That's the only time.
Because I'm like, once they noticed, they probably kept putting the camera on.
Right. In the waning moments of the game with Brady about to tie it up, I'm like, show more Chrissy Teigen. Enough with the Tom Brady. Seen Tom Brady. I want to see the stands. Come on.
I'm not seeing anything.
You don't see anything, really?
Well,
are you watching a video of it or just a still photo?
It's still covered. Delicately, the cleavage is open.
No, the shot you're showing me is the beginning. Like later on, it becomes. Oh, Isa Bruder filmed it.
So
I
we're not
it
quite to the 2 minute warning yet. Is that what you're saying?
Would I seem like a perv if I knew the exact time left on the clock when it happened?
Not if you mailed it to me.
Did you notice she was eating pizza, or did that fail to register?
No, nope.
Because the pizza's right by the.
No, I didn't notice that. I didn't notice that at all.
I still haven't seen anything.
I'll draw it for you. Hold on. Kevin, bring in my charcoals.
Areola?
No, Chrissy Teigen. His wife's Chrissy Teigen.
No, what did you...
What a game.
Was there a whole nipple exposed?
You got to see a lot more Chrissy Teigen than I think most people would have seen normally.
Why is she leaving that so open in the front?
You take a risk with a mesh shirt. You
yeah,
really
but it's
do.
It's not only mesh, it's like open in the
right. Right.
Area.
No, his wife, Chrissy Teigen, Wendy.
Shut up. I didn't notice that, Bill, but I'm glad you did.
Yep. That's my job.
God, I was watching it with two teenage boys. Well,
they
three,
didn't notice anything?
No one said anything. Maybe because their mom was there.
Maybe that's what it was. Did they stay home from school today and rewatch the game?
They were running late this morning.
How about that?
I didn't see that at all.
I thought at first it's like, I'm probably imagining it. But then, like I said, I went to the internet just to back myself up. Like, is it possible? But a lot of people were going, hey, huh? How about huh? Like that.
All right. Well, I'm not, I got to find a better, somebody's zooming right in and I still don't
me.
See it.
That was not me. I don't know how to do that or I would have done that.
All right. Well, it was a pretty exciting game to watch. We're going to talk about the commercials. I had, I think you and I had the same favorite.
I know we did. There was one in, I know Steve Cochran just said there weren't any good commercials. There were several good commercials, and one in particular both you and I are huge fans of.
I will tell you this. My son Michael and I were wowed by, not wowed, but we hadn't seen most of those commercials before, and Jim and Dylan were like, oh, God, that's an old one. We've seen that.
Yeah.
Typically, if you DVR things, I go past the commercials. So there were some that were new to me.
Right.
They weren't terrible, but boy, the days of the fantastic commercial, I don't know if we're in those days anymore.
Well, in a little bit, we'll do the news. Steve has the news, and then Dennis Ryan will join us. Dennis knows more about ads than you and I could ever dream of in our entire lives. He's been in the ad game for years and years and years, so he'll explain exactly that. There were times where everybody the next day was talking about one or two in particular. Did we have that go on last night? Maybe because the game ended so exciting, maybe the commercials took a little bit of a back seat.
You know what? You're
could
absolutely
be.
Right.
Yeah.
I usually every year before this one, I would be looking. I'd be at a party, and everybody'd be talking, and we'd be quiet when the commercials came.
Right.
On. Now it's like I didn't go to a party. We stayed home. I watched the most exciting football game I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait till the commercials were over to get back to the game.
I know.
So it is different.
That plays in. All right. We'll do the news, and then we'll talk to Dennis Ryan and find out what worked and what didn't last night. If you want to jump in, we're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder. We know that the game certainly lived up to expectations. Very exciting finish. But how did the commercials do? Dennis Ryan joins us right now, as he's done the last several years on the day after the Super Bowl, to discuss the ads that we all saw. Dennis is the CEO of Digital Kitchen and in studio with us right now. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Bill.
Appreciate
Hello,
you being
Wendy.
Here.
Hello, Dennis.
Be honest, overall, we'll get into specifics in just a little bit. Was yesterday as good as we had hoped it would be, or was it a little bit of a disappointment?
Well, it's never as good as you hope it would be, because we start getting these outsized expectations. And, of course, the biggest thing that makes you happy is surprise.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing to create anymore is surprise. So I thought it was every bit as good as past years, you know. But, again, it's kind of a national kind of habit where we say every year, yeah, they weren't quite as good as last year. I mean, that's just expected these days.
Mm-hmm. It is expected that we say that, because we need to be wowed more and more for it to make as much difference as it used to.
Exactly. And especially, did you see all the movie ads? I mean, my God.
There were a bunch.
That pirate thing. And
yeah. Oh, that looks so good.
Marvel
and I have
stuff.
To tell you, there was a Budweiser commercial where a beer maker is immigrating here to America.
Yeah.
And it looked so much like a movie that my husband says, oh, my God, they're showing the whole movie in this trailer. I said, Jim, it is a commercial.
Exactly. That is a brilliantly produced commercial. That's a great piece of filmmaking.
This is when Anheuser and Busch supposedly met for the first time. Right?
The alternative fact history
yes.
of Anheuser-Busch.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
Right.
But beautifully produced.
It
I
was.
Just don't understand why they did the drawing of the bottle at the end. That was like, oh, you went and dropped the meat in the dirt.
Yeah,
up to
what
then,
was that?
I mean, it is a brilliantly done ad, and I like it very much.
Yeah.
That felt like the brand manager saying, yeah, but we don't have any branding. We need to see our product because, you know, no one knows what Budweiser looks like.
Right.
Yeah, but I
right.
didn't know what it was till I saw the Budweiser bottle.
Well, that's true. That's a point. But did you really need to see the drawing of
no.
it? Would the label no. have worked, or just the name?
Yeah, the name would have been sufficient.
Yeah, but it
yeah.
was a... I, can't take anything away from that production. It was breathtakingly good.
Is it easy to go back and see when Super Bowl Sunday became the night for the advertising world? Is there a specific year that that happened, or was it over a series of years?
No, absolutely, because no one had really treated it any differently. And again, remember, today, the idea of an aggregated audience of that size, 113 million was the estimate, is just unheard of. No one gets together at the same time to do this, watch the same show.
Right.
Back in 1984, when Chiat Day came out with the 1984 ad for Macintosh, that was truly the first, holy cow, this is an event. And it really, they played that brilliantly. And ever since then, other advertisers have followed their lead, and you've seen the production costs go up, and obviously the time costs go up.
But, like you just said, it's harder and harder to wow us. If that ad, if the 1984 ad for Macintosh were shown today, would people even pay any attention to it, do you think?
I think they would. And what's interesting is you're talking about broadcasting, and today I think it really does focus more on narrowcasting. Oh, you're interested in puppies? Okay, here's... The whole world might not be, but the people who are really interested. And I think that's really what some of the broadcasters last night did a pretty good job. But others, you could question, maybe it's not the best venue for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Can I talk about the Christopher Walken Justin Timberlake commercial? It did its job, because now I want to try this buy water, whatever it is. A drink.
Yeah.
But at first, when I watched it, I love Christopher Walken, so I see it, and it's like, I'm going to love this. And then it didn't do much for me, and it's like, oh, that was okay. But now I found myself thinking about it today, and it's like, wow, that was really good. So it had like a delayed reaction.
Yeah, that I have felt the exact same way. And to be totally honest, I did not know the NSYNC song Bye Bye Bye, with which his lyrics he was quoting verbatim, which
I didn't really.
When you realize that, and then you watch it again, and you see Justin Timberlake's look at him, because you've got Justin Timberlake and he reads the voiceover, and other than that, sits still and looks dandy. It was very odd, but it's brilliant. And I totally agree. If you remember Bye, you remember the product, and that's simple but terrific advertising.
I'm going to try one today because of that.
Because
I
of
really
ad.
Will.
I just might too.
Yeah. That means success.
Without a doubt.
All right. Now, on the flip side of that, let's go to here's an ad that everybody saw and quickly forgot. There was a Sinex ad about a guy watching the big game, and he had a big blue wig on, and their tag was, get your head back in the game, because his head stood out. If you're Sinex, are you proud of that? It seems like something that almost anybody could come up with. Why bother?
You know what? It is cold and flu season, so the context is right. And if you're sitting there stuffy-nosed, it might give you something. And to your point, it was that silly color blue afro. You know, the rainbow afro guy. We're not ready for the light blue aquamarine afro guy. And
right.
It was only 15 seconds. That it did jump out for that very reason, too. It's like, huh. That's interesting.
That's what they went with.
Yeah, there
right.
you go.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the huge successes in your opinion and the big failures in your opinion. What's the one that as you watched you went, I've been in the game a long time, that's an ad right there?
Well, you know what, and all of them feel familiar in some way or another, but there's so many were really well done, I thought. I thought Melissa McCarthy, I mean, she had a heck of a weekend, didn't she?
It was
did. Yeah. Spicy.
Oh my gosh, she was so brilliant, but I thought... And it fit her character perfectly. It fit the brand perfectly with this eco car. And when the whale throws her against the side of the Greenpeace ship,
you
see her body shape smudge on the side of the ship,
splat.
I'm like, that's a good detail. And she's so lovable.
When you're writing an ad like that, at what point do you have to guarantee that Melissa McCarthy will do it? Because if it was some other actress, it probably wouldn't have the same bite, would it?
You're absolutely correct. And what you saw last night, again, was the power of celebrity. I mean... John Malkovich, I mean, he's angry the whole ad. The one emotion that's very difficult to do in advertising is anger. It just comes across as no one wants to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's John Malkovich, and he pulls it off. It's Melissa McCarthy. She's screaming. She's panicked, and she pulls it off because she's so funny. So I think that's the power of celebrity. And to your point, Wendy, I mean, Christopher Walken, come on. It's a walk away.
I truly got freaked out by the Humpty Dumpty commercial, if I could just say that. That's
creepy, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
With the little yolk coming out.
Yeah. The bodily fluids reference is kind of harsh. Yeah, and I also didn't understand for an American tax company why everyone had a Cockney accent. That seemed a bit odd to me. But it was beautifully produced. It was, and it was funny. It just seemed a little odd. You know, the match didn't quite happen.
There seemed to be, for me anyway, two running themes through many, many, many of the ads. Theme number one was inclusion. There was a lot of people from all parts of the world all showing that they can get along. You noticed that as well.
Yes.
Didn't you?
Yes.
And there was also the theme of the future is now. They showed you a lot of things that you say, wow, that's the Jetsons living that life. No, it's you because the future is now. Did you notice that?
Aren't graphic effects lovely?
Because yeah.
You can make anything look just futuristic.
Yeah.
I mean, that Lexus ad was those were the shiniest cars I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And it looked like they were basically power sliding through, I don't know, Vaseline or something. Everything was just like a sheen. It was crazy. But yeah, and then I think the only place in America that's truly happy and black and white and old and young and gay and straight and everyone gets along are Google ads.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a world I want to live in. That just looked inclusive and happy and tolerant.
Yeah.
And other than that, boy, were people screaming on social media last night. That was a wow.
Screaming always on the negative end or a little bit of both?
Oh, you get both. Of course you get both. I mean, Lady Gaga, the amount of people who were just so thrilled with her performance. And it was...
She was awesome.
She was breathtaking. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Just a hill of... And it was so fun. It was just... And yet she had a good message in there to a certain crowd that I thought played beautifully and didn't raise a lot of protests, but
surprise.
Certainly some other ones did.
All right, yes. And can we talk about that?
Absolutely.
Should we take a quick break and talk about
yep.
those? Because one, I didn't get. Two, I didn't get, but for different reasons.
Oh,
can
excellent.
We talk about that next?
Absolutely. That's coming your way in just a little bit. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder, along with Dennis Ryan from Digital Kitchen on WGN.
All right. So we are talking to Dennis Ryan, CEO of Digital Kitchen. And I loved talking to you last year after the Super Bowl to talk about the Super Bowl commercials. We're so glad to have you in the studio. You had mentioned before the break about some political messages. Nothing too strong. One, I slipped right past me. We were talking about that briefly. It's a 10, hair care products. I noticed all the weird hairdos. What did I miss on that?
Well, actually, that was a great political statement that wasn't divisively political. Because the one thing everyone has to agree on is Donald Trump's hair is highly unusual. And so they said the one thing we can look forward to is 4 years of awful hair or something
yeah.
like that. And then they just showed a cavalcade of ridiculous hairstyles. And it was really just fun to watch. It felt good-natured. It didn't feel cruel or anything else. And I just thought of all the political statements. It was pretty smart for the venue.
That's pretty good. I didn't hear the open of it. I just saw the weird hair, so there was no connection.
All the open set it up beautifully. What's behind the scenes when a company makes a political statement, either broad or subtle? I counted four or five that kind of played off the fact that there's some dissension in the ranks in the country, and we should all work together. You saw that.
But again and again, you saw it.
Yeah.
I mean, and interestingly, even ones that didn't maybe start out political inevitably become political.
Yeah.
I mean, Budweiser rather famously has said that whole, you know, you're not welcome here, whatever line was given to the immigrant, Adolphus Bush, when he came to the country first. That was done months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it was probably shot while Obama was president. And of course, these tensions existed, but it hadn't been brought to the apex of tension it is now. And so suddenly it's laden with all this more importance or all this more attention than it would have otherwise gotten. But then you have other people. I mean, anytime you're talking politics and advertising, you've got very big anxiety.
Sure.
It's not a smart move, is it?
It's rarely a smart move, although, you know, think of Audi. Audi did that. They talked about gender gap and the father thinking about his daughter.
Yeah.
And can she get paid? She won't be valued as much as her mother won't be valued as much as her father, and the gender pay gap. That's actually a very interesting movement that you're seeing more and more of in advertising. This notion of what's your purpose. And if I align my values align with this company's values, that's great. And if Audi is truly committed to gender equality pay, that's a story that's going to resonate with, again, probably a narrower audience,
mm-hmm.
but it'll resonate very powerfully. Our whole Seattle office is dedicated to that practice. What's your purpose, and how do we align your purpose with the market to get that kind of brand loyalty that's very difficult to get anymore? I thought it was actually really a smart ad.
What'd you think of 84 Lumber? Now, there's two separate ads there. There's the TV version, the short version that you saw, and then I went to their website, which apparently crashed
uh-huh.
during the Super Bowl. I saw it afterwards. Talk about what went on with 84 Lumber last night.
Well, that was a very interesting one, particularly given the fact that the president or CEO of 84 Lumber said, I voted for Trump and everything else, and it was all about the wall. It was really unfortunate that that their website crashed. Yeah. It took a long time to be able to see that spot. In fact, I ended up seeing it on other places rather than their original website. I checked it 3 or 4 times. A friend of mine actually produced that. He's from Chicago, a guy named John Noble. He's got a company. They work together in this thing. It's a brilliantly shot piece of film. It's almost 6 minutes long.
It is,
I mean, it was never really going to be on television. I have a feeling a lot of this was drummed up for intentional discussion.
Yeah.
I think it creates a very valuable discussion. There's no doubt they've got a very large Hispanic audience, and that's going to play as a welcome addition. Hi, we're part of the national conversation. Our hopes and dreams matter. I mean, that's a very important thing. And when you think of how many 84 lumber yards probably have day laborers standing outside, there's all kinds of issues surrounding that, and everyone in the country is talking about 84 lumber today, and it's all about working hard. It was a really, I thought that was a very interesting, far and away the most aggressive political ad I've ever seen in Super Bowl.
But that could be taken both ways.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, are they for the wall?
Absolutely.
Because they're a lumber company, or are they saying we shouldn't have the wall because look at all the walls that are up already?
Right. And but what they did and the position they're taking is fair immigration is still legal. Legal immigration is still a legal thing. And if you come in correctly, if you come in through the door and you're willing to work hard, we have a future here for you. It's a country of immigrants. So I think they're kind of having it both ways, but I know the way the discussion's gotten, it hasn't gotten, compare that to the women from Hamilton who sang the national anthem and added brotherhood and sisterhood.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that turned into such a hate-filled powder keg, and you're sitting there going, really?
I mean, over
really?
That.
That's what we're arguing about?
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, that's because you're one of those women.
I know.
How weird.
Although my husband did go, what? And I said, yeah, it's awesome.
When was the last time you said what during the national anthem? I actually paid attention. It's a good thing.
Wendy and I had the same favorite ad.
I cried during it, if I can just tell you that. Being a mom, I want my kids to do whatever they can and be whomever they can. So to see the talking yearbooks and to do what you love, that was inspiring. And it was for Honda, and I remembered.
See, that's great. I think that execution I thought was tremendous. I particularly liked all the comedians because they were able to make, I mean, Steve Carell's comment to his neighbor Daryl.
Yeah, that was funny. Great.
But
very
I mean,
funny.
Jimmy Kimmel and Tina Fey, they were all, and everyone was good. I mean, I thought they really stayed in character. I thought they did a terrific job. Magic Johnson, Robert Redford, you know, Missy Elliott. It was all great. It was a weird tie to following your dreams to get to the CRV.
Right.
But I agree with you. I thought I felt good about Honda for doing it. Wasn't exactly sure what I was supposed to buy, but I thought it was a good ad. I really liked it.
Dennis, I'm sitting there and I'm saying to myself, these ads are great, but isn't Morgan Freeman going to narrate something? And then thanks to Turkish Air, he did.
There you go. There you go. And he appeared in multiple seats in multiple cabins.
Yeah, that was, he can do that. He's Morgan Freeman.
It was a beautiful ad. I don't know the next time I'm going to use Turkish Airlines, but I'm certainly not counter to it now.
Right.
I thought that was good.
Right. But he, and you know, we've mentioned a couple of other people like this, Christopher Walken, he makes you, if you're just slouching, just kind of laying there watching the game, you sit up a little straighter and you say, oh, it's Morgan Freeman or Christopher Walken. They have star power.
Absolutely. And one of the things we used to have to work on in Anheuser-Busch was, can this play without the sound on? Which is a very difficult thing to do because in so many parties, it's loud. Now, there used to be that tradition of getting quieter during the commercial break, now that you can watch the commercials again later on YouTube or frankly,
or
earlier.
Before, yeah.
Or before, yeah. I'd say one of them had over 10 million views before, the Jason Statham one for Wix.
Really?
Had over 10 million views. They really pounded that on social media. But, so trying to get that kind of thing across when it's subtle.
All right, I have a commercial that is my second favorite, and it really would work with the sound off. The Skittles commercial was awesome because it's a guy trying to get the girl's attention, and then you see, okay, it's the girl, it's the mom, it's the dad, it's the grandma, it's the thief, and then it's the cop getting the thief. That was...
And then an animal.
Oh,
there was some weird animal.
Some groundhog or something
was
crazy.
Was that a groundhog?
I don't know. It felt
made me want to honestly go right to Walgreens and get Skittles.
Well, see, now that's how a candy ad should work. That's fantastic. What's interesting about that spot in Digital Kitchen, we do a lot of computer graphics, and I'm sitting there going, are those CGI Skittles, because everyone catches one. Yeah. That's one take.
Right.
It's one take. The camera never breaks. So all those people scooching down the couch, then catch it in their mouth, even the puppet at the end. So yeah. that's my – I have to find out if that's true or not. But it's that one's actually been running for a month or two anyway.
And I loved it.
It didn't hold it for the Super Bowl, which is interesting.
And I also just quickly want to bring up, I thought the Tide ad with Terry Bradshaw was extremely ambitious. And the beauty of it is – it did a callback at the very end of the game with Jeffrey Tambor, who appears earlier. Really well thought out all the way through.
Those, and I'm not even sure that was thought out. I have a feeling when you get Jeffrey Tambor, I worked with Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah.
And the first couple of times it was a car wreck. It was terrible. Terry can only do one thing, and that's shout. He shouts. And once you realize that and write for that, there's a writer in the city, a guy named Kenneth Sneary, who figured him out for Supercuts. And it was really funny.
Yeah.
Once you figure out that Terry's going to shout. So he did a great job then putting him counter to that kind of intellectual character Jeffrey Tambor was, which was I found that the funniest thing in the world. I thought the whole, you know, why he's driving a golf cart down a highway kind of confused me.
Yeah.
But but I think they just had so much good film. They went, well, we could come
Let's
back
run
and
with
see
it.
That. We used to do that all the time because you shoot multiple endings to spots.
Sure.
Then you're like, well, these both work if we give it enough time. And
why
people
not?
Enjoy it. Exactly.
Why not? It's Dennis Ryan, everybody. He's the CEO of Digital Kitchen. If people want to know more, the best website for Digital Kitchen would be?
That would be our website.
Your website.
That's the one I'd push.
Don't go anywhere
else. ThisIsDK.com.
ThisIsDK.com is the answer. Dennis, great to see you. Thanks for being by.
Great to see you, Bill. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks,
good to see you.
A little bit of a break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I heard you singing this morning.
I was whistling part of it.
No, you were. Oh, I guess, you weren't whistling.
Yeah,
were you?
I was whistling it.
Thanks, Gramps.
I was.
Why do grandpas walk around and whistle?
Yeah.
And Kevin does that too.
Kevin and I are on the whistling team here at WGN Radio. We're going up against LS later. Come watch our whistle meet.
Nick Vigilio, maybe you should grab that first part of it. I've ruined you, haven't
she did
I?
She did a great job.
Didn't she?
Yeah,
I didn't like her outfit.
That was very entertaining. You didn't like it? How come? Why not?
Very Judy Jetson at the beginning. She's really beautiful, and I just didn't like the outfit.
Did you see online people are slamming, they're body shaming her, as the kids like to say, which is ridiculous. You know,
okay.
They're talking about how she's let herself go.
She hasn't.
I didn't see her let herself go.
Well, she didn't have a six pack. There was skin that's called, you know, that maybe went over the top of her panty. I hate that word, panty.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to see somebody keep up with her dancing and singing. And she was really singing. And you lose your breath when you're dancing that much.
Right.
And flying and stuff.
Right.
She's not easy.
It's not easy. Now, here's the other controversy, aside from people saying, oh, look at her, she has let herself go, which she obviously didn't.
God.
Parts of her presentation were pre-recorded, which is fine.
It doesn't ruin it for me.
It doesn't. Right. Right.
Which parts?
There was the element of, you know, there were drones in the sky that spelled out Pepsi. So evidently that had been done earlier, just on the off chance that they couldn't get them in the right formation to spell out Pepsi. Then you have a disaster. So that all that was pre-taped.
Poopsie? What's
right?
that?
What is that?
How much money did Poopsie spend?
Then there were also other elements like, you know, it was made to look like she was dancing up on the roof of the stadium there in Texas, and she really wasn't. But
well, good,
so
I don't want her to get hurt.
No, you don't want her to fall off the roof of the stadium.
Although at the very end, when she just kind of jumped.
She did a mic drop.
And then she grabbed the ball.
Right.
Where'd she go? I wanted to see
the landing.
Mystery. Has she landed yet?
Not yet. She will land, they say, sometime around 6 o'clock tonight.
Cheryl, you found Gaga to be amazing?
I love Lady Gaga. And I think, I mean, just musically, I'm a music teacher, and just to see her singing while she's falling from the top of the stadium, she was dancing midair. People were picking her up, holding her by the stomach. She's still singing. I mean, she is an incredible performer. I personally loved her outfit. I thought the eye makeup with the – I loved the whole thing. And for me, that was the highlight of the game. Because
yeah.
Because the Patriots and, you know, Tom Brady's a cheater. Always.
I'm so with you on that.
I mean, the team steals playbooks. He deflates footballs, and everyone thinks he's so fabulous. I don't get it. And I just felt so bad for the Falcons that they had such an epic collapse. But I don't know if anyone knows, side note, their communication system went out in their helmets like midway through the game.
The Falcons did or the Patriots?
Yeah,
the Falcons?
Falcons.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you noticed Matt Ryan was asking for another helmet, and that's why, because he lost, he couldn't hear the signal being called in his helmet.
Do you think the Russians scrambled the signals?
I bet you they did, because Tom Brady's friends with Trump.
Yep.
I wouldn't put it past the Patriots. Honestly, I wouldn't.
Once a cheater, always a cheater.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I believe his 5 championships are tainted. Yes, he's an amazing player. But it wasn't done entirely honestly, in my opinion.
Interesting.
I love Cheryl.
Yeah. Thanks, Cheryl.
I love you guys too. Thanks. Have a good day.
I know Putin had $50 down on the Patriots, so you got to wonder if he didn't scramble the signals in the Falcons' helmets. Maybe he did.
Well, that's why they had to use the drones and pre-record Pepsi, because it would have spelled out Putin. Boy, that would have been something.
That would have gotten a little bit of notice.
Wow. Can I tell you, I want to do a quick little poll. I think Bertrand is gone, but Kim's here. She can participate. Who had chili yesterday?
We did not.
That's one of the official Super Bowl foods.
Kevin?
I had mussels. They were delicious, but no chili.
But I did make a crock pot thing.
Oh.
Pulled chicken.
Oh, that's close.
All right, I made chili. We were invited to a party, and I decided we're going to stay home and watch it. So I made a big pot of chili, and as I'm making this chili, I'm realizing I don't like chili.
Yeah.
Found out the kids really don't like chili. Jim likes chili.
Yeah.
I just don't like chili.
But you felt the need to make it because you're told that's what you make it for the Super Bowl?
Who made that rule? I'm glad to see I'm the only one that had chili out of the four of us, so it's good that you guys can go against the rule.
All right. It's funny you bring this up because I was in a situation over the weekend that has something very specifically to do with exactly what you just said. And I didn't want a friendship to be ruined over it. A quick break and then I'll explain. All right. Find out what happened next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune news. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com.
It's Bill and Wendy here at WGN. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, that's the call line and the text line. Yesterday, of course, Super Bowl Sunday, and one of the foods that you feel compelled to make because it's been done for years, and I've said this about Thanksgiving, because I don't like turkey, and I'm not the only one who doesn't like turkey, and I've talked to people who go, yeah, we have to have turkey because it's Thanksgiving. Do you like it? No.
I don't eat turkey.
You don't either?
No.
All right, well, I like turkey.
There's plenty of people who do, but there's something that says to you somehow, like it or not like it, this is the food you're supposed to have. And chili is kind of like that with the Super Bowl.
Which, why? I mean, turkey, I get the Thanksgiving connection, although pilgrims didn't eat turkey. No, they had fish and bread.
And Hot Pockets. Did you know that?
No.
They had Hot Pockets.
But chili, I think, I made this giant pot, and really as it was time to eat, no one seemed to be that excited.
Right.
Except Jim. He's like, oh, that smells good. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really like chili. And the boys are like, me neither.
They don't either.
But I had hot dogs. I had some Vienna beef hot dogs in the fridge. I said, anybody up for a chili cheese dog? Mm-hmm. So that was good.
That would work. All right. The other day, I get a text from one of my best friends who invited my wife and I to join he and his wife for dinner on Saturday. And I say, we're in, because we wanted to have dinner with him. Then he said, oh, great, 7:30, we'll have chili. And I don't like it. I just don't like it. I've had it a few times in my life, never enjoyed it. But then you say to yourself, is it my place to dictate which food you serve at your house?
Well, I would never invite you again if you said something to me.
I wouldn't blame him. I wouldn't.
Did you tell him?
I said to Terry, how do I handle this? Because, I mean, we see them all the
time. Does she like chili?
She's indifferent towards it. She'll have it. Or
so
not
will
have
I,
it.
But it's just a waste of.
Right.
It's not good enough. It's not meat. It's not enough to be a meal, but it's more than a soup.
Right.
It's just kind of chili.
Yeah, that's the way you just described it. You should be on the council, the PR
the
council.
The anti chili council.
So my solution was, I said, some members of the team of Bill and Terry enjoy chili, Terry. Some do not, me. I want to bring another entree. You call it whatever you want. I'll go get it.
Okay, well, that was a good way of doing
it. Don't
you
think?
Yeah. I would invite you again.
You handled that.
I think that was
really
tactful.
Well. Yeah, very nice.
I still never would have done that.
I felt guilty doing it, but I've been to other people's houses from time to time where they make something that isn't on my list of things to eat.
Like svechkova?
No, it's all real words.
No, that's like a pickled beef or something.
Yeah, that would be something. What is it called?
Svechkova.
I wouldn't have that.
I don't even know what.
That's the name of my Uber driver.
I don't think I'd want to be invited back over if that's what they gave me. But chili, everybody assumes everybody likes chili.
Right.
I don't like
it. It's just assumed, but it's incorrect.
So what'd you bring, or did he make something different?
He said, he goes, let me surprise you with something. And then he knows there's a rib place that's near us. And they went and got ribs and barbecue chicken, and it was outstanding.
You made out like a bandit.
He's a really good friend, Bill.
Ribs or chili, you get ribs.
Yeah.
God, you won.
You know, but if you can't be honest with your best friend, who can you be honest with? You know, sometimes you have to play the game. But in this case, you were fine.
Here, Kim, not only do I agree with you, I said to Terry, I said, if the roles were reversed and we were having people over, and this has happened, although I was trying to remember how many times we've said in advance what we're having, because I could have just showed up and not known that it was a food I like.
See, I find that to be astounding that everything's... when I have people over for dinner, it's like, oh, we'll figure it out tomorrow.
As it happens.
But it's like 7:30, making some chili. That is so pre-planned.
Yeah, he's good at that. He's good. But I thought if the roles were reversed, I would want who's ever coming over. I wouldn't want anyone to leave hungry or go, oh, no, it's one of those foods I just don't ever eat. So I would be okay if somebody said to me, I know you guys are having this. Can I bring this? Or is there another option? I'd be all right with that.
It would have been different if he said, are you good with chili? I was thinking of making a pot.
That's
then
the way
you could
to do
go,
it.
You know what? Not a big chili fan.
That's the way to do
it. Is there something I can bring?
Right.
But boy, you didn't even have to bring anything.
I was so prepared to. Have you ever done this? Have you ever had a bunch of people over and pizza is going to be the food of choice? And you can't find two people on the planet who like the same things on pizza. It's the weirdest thing.
You always settle.
Right.
Like, oh, that's, you like, what do you like, black olives?
Yeah, black olives, mushrooms, and onions.
I would eat
Bill,
that.
We can share a pizza anytime.
That's my go-to.
All right. I don't like meat on pizza
at all.
No, me
neither. Uh-uh.
Kevin's making funny faces. I would have a piece of yours, but see, that bothers me too, because when you take a little order, like, okay, what does everybody want?
Right.
It's like, I want cheese and sausage, I want pepperoni, I want the black olive onion and mushroom, and then everyone's like, oh, I'm not going to eat that, and yet when it comes, you don't even get enough of it because everyone's like, oh, I'll have that.
That looks good. I'll try that. There's four people in my family, and we can't. There's never been one time where we've all had a pizza together. We end up buying two
and splitting them in half. Which is really expensive when there's only four people.
Don't you do it half and half? Like we want half sausage and half.
But you still have to get two pizzas because there's only two halves.
Right.
And quarters is really not enough.
No,
so, Bill,
it's
when
not.
We go out for pizza, can I add spinach or no?
Would
that be okay?
I could pick it off.
Okay.
You're not supposed to. Spinach is bad for you, despite what you're told. It's bad for you. But yeah, I would let. Yeah, sure. You could get some on, and it's easy to pick off.
I'll get on my half.
Yeah, that's fine.
But that is interesting about, you know, oh, I'm making a big pot of chili. Be there at 7:30. I've never had anybody really pre-plan.
I felt bad because obviously he and his wife had discussed it and went, this is what
it's
we're
chili
doing.
Night.
How can we go wrong? And then I feel like I threw a monkey wrench into that. So I felt bad. But as Kim pointed out, we've been friends forever. He knows. Everybody has. There's certain foods everybody gravitates towards, and then others that you're repelled by. And
you're repelled by it. See,
I couldn't eat. There's nothing about it that appeals to me.
Well, I assume that since he's your best friend, he knows that you're kind of not a picky eater.
Right.
But you like what you like, and you don't like.
You can go right ahead and say that.
He was already probably, you know, he knows that about you,
right? And for the record, if Grant Mulvey's listening, he's my best friend. But this Leo is one of my best friends.
I'm surprised you get invited anywhere.
I am too.
Honestly, because
I'm shocked.
Even when we go places for lunch and we have something, you know, Kevin and I are like, hey, don't you like this? And you're like, not really a fan. And it's like, what?
But you know, there are, I could, if I listed five or six potential lunches or dinners, I'm going to hit on one or two. That you're going to go, aren't there some foods that there's no food that you just out and out wouldn't eat?
I would try anything.
Really?
If I didn't listen to you for Nuff Nuff Grill, I never would have had a chicken shawarma sandwich.
And it's changed your life.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. And you eat like more exotic things.
It's really strange.
You do. You're not scared to try something different. You just, I guess you're a man who knows what he likes.
I've never had Asian food of any kind that I have not liked. Like every kind of Chinese food and Japanese food and you name it, Korean food, Vietnamese food. And you know how I am with vegetables. I'm not keen on vegetables. If they're Asian vegetables, I could eat them all day, every day. I love them.
It's the seasonings, must be.
It's got to be. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Do you like egg foo young?
Very much.
This is weird to me because you don't like eggs.
Yeah, I know.
I love egg foo young and I love eggs.
Yeah.
You'll eat egg foo young?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There is no rhyme or reason to your palate.
I know.
Can I tell you that?
No. No, that's true, isn't it? And sometimes I have to trick myself into not thinking that there's eggs in egg foo young. Like when I order it from the restaurant, I just go, I'll take a foo young and I'll go an egg foo young and I'll go, if you have to.
Does your friend Leo have dogs?
Yeah. Why?
Well, because you would not eat soup that I made because you said I have a dog.
Right. Because I know that you would pet the dog and then make the food.
Okay. I wash my hands about 100 times.
Not
I don't
enough.
Touch.
You have to have a chemical bath.
Did you make the dogs go outside when you had dinner?
I didn't make them go outside. They were more comfortable outside during dinner.
Why does Leo invite you over?
Because I'm his friend, Wendy.
Friend? It must be Terry.
I'm his friend.
We just got a little bird told us that you made the dogs go outside.
I didn't make them go outside. They knew that I'm not comfortable around dogs during the meal. So
why? They're not going to come eat off your plate.
They do this stare down thing where they just stand next to you during the meal and they just stare at you like, those ribs look good.
Have you ever pet a dog?
If I have, it's been a while.
So if a dog comes up to you, you wouldn't pet it?
No. No.
I don't know why.
Are you afraid or you just don't like them?
I don't like them. But if a kid came up to me, I wouldn't pet the kid either, and I love kids.
I'd rather pet a dog than somebody else's kid, if you want to know the truth. So we all have our things,
right.
I guess.
Everyone has quirks.
God, you made him go buy you ribs.
I didn't.
And you made him put his dogs outside. It was cold last night.
For that to have happened,
Saturday.
I would have had to have said the words, these dogs must go outside. And there were no exchange of words, but they came in. They were staring at me. I kept sneezing because I get like weird. I'm not lying. It's not even an allergy. It's like just a weird reaction if I'm too close to animals.
It's called fear.
It's not fear. I'm not afraid of them at all. I'm not.
It's hatred.
It's not hatred. It's I'd rather you guys be outside while I'm enjoying my ribs. There's a huge difference.
All right.
There is. All right. A break.
I wonder if you're ever going to be invited back.
I don't know that I will. It's possible I won't. A quick break. Some news. More show. Bill and Wendy WGN.
Zorn. The greatest father in all the land. Zorn. We sing the praises of Zorn.
Eric Zorn is here.
Eric Zorn is here. Eric, nice to see
you.
The music tells you that I'm here.
Yeah.
If you don't see me here, the music will tell you that I'm here.
That's so true, isn't it? There's several things to discuss with you. We wanted to start out with Saturday Night Live a little bit.
I've got a big number for you. Yes, Wendy, you
can we play
hand?
Some audio? Or are we
ready,
gonna go
ready
right
to play?
Into it?
Well, let me.
Okay.
I'll lead into it. How's
Perfect.
That? How's this for some radio?
Kevin was overprepared today. So
that's good. Kevin's good. You guys should actually pay him. Not yet.
Ruin him.
Too soon. The big number is 22. Saturday Night Live has its best ratings in 22 years, and its ratings this year are up 22% total viewership over last year.
Is that the Trump effect?
I believe it is the Trump
is.
Effect. And Trump, of course, has called it unwatchable,
yep.
Terrible, and boring,
mm-hmm.
Blasting the show. And it is becoming culturally relevant again. Everybody in my circle certainly was talking about the skit on Saturday Night. Usually their opening skit is the one that gets all the attention.
Right.
The opening is the one that it's always political. It's the one that gets the most attention. This one was about, a third of the way in. It was before the news. And it was Melissa McCarthy dressed up as Sean Spicer, the mm-hmm. spokesman. And Kevin's got a clip for us, right?
Sense of Rocky the movie, because I came out here to punch you in the face and also good. Now I'd like to begin today by apologizing on behalf of you to me for how you have treated me these last 2 weeks. And that apology is not accepted.
All right, there's so much going on there. Thing number one is this. Nobody knew Melissa McCarthy was going to show up on the show. She was not the host. Kristen Stewart was the host. So there was a brief second or two where when you were watching it, you had to kind of take it all in of what am I seeing exactly? That doesn't look like anyone I know in the cast.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I nailed it right away because of her dimples.
Oh, yeah. What it was, yeah.
But you could hear the audience didn't quite know at first, and then all of a sudden they roared, but then they roared even louder once they figured it out.
I went right to Twitter to find out who it was, and of course Twitter was all over.
Did you watch the whole scene without knowing it was Melissa McCarthy?
No, I actually, while it was going on, I went on Twitter to see who it was. Right. I'm that quick. I'm that quick with my social media skills. It's incredible.
It was a very funny scene.
Were you watching it live?
Yeah.
And you watching it live?
Yes.
See, and 3 years ago, were you watching Saturday Night Live? Or?
I can't tell you what I was doing. I mean, sometimes I watch it every week, though.
I always DVR it. Almost never watch it live. I was watching this one live. Mm-hmm. I would say for years, we would DVR and then I don't know. And then maybe I'd watch the opening thing, but that's about it. It's become much more relevant again, especially given that the president is watching it.
Yeah.
And that he's probably going to react. He hasn't yet reacted to this yet, and I don't know Sean Spicer.
But Sean Spicer has.
Oh, he has.
Yes.
Yeah, he did this morning. Said it was way over the top and mean spirited, as you would imagine.
Baby, you think you know what these
it
guys
was
have got?
Dead on.
These guys have got to learn to laugh it off. They really do.
Here's what I don't understand, Eric. Saturday Night Live has been on for decades, and they have made part of their show every week is ripping on whoever's in the White House. They've done it. Since day one of Saturday Night Live, it's been part of it. But Trump and his team don't seem to understand that. It didn't start with them. They've always done this. Why do they get so upset at being lampooned on the show?
Chevy Chase started off playing Gerald Ford and falling down all
Clumsy,
the time.
Clumsy, yeah.
And that was really it was unfair. Gerald Ford was an athlete. He's maybe the most athletic president we've ever had.
Yeah.
And yet he made fun of him. And I don't know any president who's ever reacted to it.
Right.
The way Trump has reacted to it. And
they
haven't. And I don't think that they were as tough on Obama as they were tough on Trump.
But they did bits about that. They did bits about how they would throw him softball questions and how they'd, like, he would answer and they'd all fall in, the press would just be looking love smitten with him every time. I mean, that was the joke with him.
It's good. And I think the cast this year is really quite good. I think that the ensemble they put together is really good, and they keep reinventing that show.
Yeah,
it's
Big Poppy's my favorite.
very funny. Yeah.
And they they'll lose someone like Kristen Wiig, and you think, oh my gosh, they can't go on, and then Kate McKinnon will step up,
right?
And just go. I mean, she's amazing.
She is really great
talent, so it's really worth watching. And again, because you it's got that extra relevance. Because you know that the president's going to respond to it.
I'm Kristen Stewart, is that her name?
Yeah, she hosted.
I've never seen Twilight movies. I don't really know who she is other than she's hot.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was very attractive. But if I'm her, I'm bummed that Melissa McCarthy does a quick little guest spot because no one's talking about her. They're talking about Melissa.
They're talking about her because she swore she swore a bit during the opening monologue.
I think
monologue.
That was intentional.
Kevin, we have a little clip of that. Here's the opening monologue.
Not
Saturday
on WGN,
Live.
No.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got a great show, and I totally care that I'm here because it's the coolest thing ever.
I think that was intentional.
Why? What? How?
Because
could they...
I swear a lot. You said I swear more than anyone you've ever met,
you
which
swear
is not really
more
true.
More than everyone I know put together.
Okay, that's not funny. But it's know you're when you're on a live. I have had to dump myself twice in 30 years.
Yeah.
You know she's on live TV.
But
she knows not
day.
To do it.
But you're always. Are you here every day or not?
No.
You're not here every day? You're here 5 days a week. She's not on live TV every day. So she just got lost up in the... There's no plus for her swearing on purpose. There's zero plus. She could get fined. Lorne Michaels, the producer, hates when people do stuff like that.
You think they could just put it on a 5-second delay to dump it out if they really wanted to handle that problem? Because there was a story, I think it was in the Sun-Times this morning, about the number of people who have dropped F-bombs on SNL over the years. There are four or five times where people have just...
Paul Schaefer did.
Yeah.
Charles Rocket did.
Paul Schaefer did?
Yeah.
Shame on him.
Well, it's often where they're in a sketch where they're playing somebody who's supposed to be profane, and they're saying, you know, flipping this and flipping that, and they're just, you know, they're saying that, and then they fall into the word they're not supposed to say.
I don't know, Bill. I know she's not maybe done live TV like that before, but
look at A.D. Bryant next to her and Kate McKinnon next to her. Look at their reaction. It's a two-pronged attack. It's,
I guess,
number one is,
yeah,
did I just hear that? And then they both, their eyes and mouths get really big, like that wasn't a good idea. You could just see it on both of their faces.
I'm just, you know, if I can control it, I feel like anybody can control it.
Do they still find people? I was actually thinking a little bit about this in context of the Super Bowl halftime show. Remember, which was, how long ago was that? 15 years ago?
Yeah. When
there was Janet Jackson?
Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
And they got fined, and there was all kinds of upset. And
the FCC usually levies a fine. I don't know what will happen in this case.
What happens when you guys have never had that happen here?
We've got a delay button.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
And how come they don't on SNL?
They usually do. That's the weird thing is we heard it live, and I said to Terry, well, how did they not dump that if they had a 7-second delay, but they didn't?
Well, you guys, we're on delay right now, right?
Yeah.
Don't test me.
I'm not testing you. I'm just saying.
Yes.
What word would you say that you...
Oh, come on. He's tricking you. He's tricking you.
Eric Zorn is here. We're tricking him. Fine columnist for the Chicago Tribune. More coming your way next on WGN.
Right now.
Do you want me to say this now?
Yep.
All right. There's no one like your Valentine. This year, treat them to an unforgettable gift that's as unique as they are, and that would be a gift from Sherry's Berries. Sherry's Berries shows her that you put thought into finding the perfect gift for her. Freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries, starting at just $19.99 plus shipping, or double the berries for just $10 more. Wendy, they sent us a Sherry's Berries gift pack. Be honest, delicious or not delicious?
Each one was better than the next one.
Weren't they?
Honestly, they kept getting better.
So good. All you need is our code to take advantage of this deal, and our code is Bill and Wendy, our names. These berries are decadent, they're fresh, they're juicy, they're sweet, they're irresistible, just like you are. Choose berries,
thank you.
You're welcome. Choose berries dipped in white milk sweet. And dark so chocolatey nice. Goodness. They're all topped with chocolate chips or decorative swizzles or chopped nuts. Sherry's Berries will deliver your gift fresh and on time, guaranteed, or you get your money back. How about that? With Valentine's Day right around the corner, there's only one way to get Sherry's Berries, starting at just $19.99. Visit Berries, B-E-R-R-I-E-S, berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right-hand corner and type in our names, Bill and Wendy. Go to berries.com, click on that microphone, and type in Bill and Wendy. Order them now.
Wednesday night. The Blackhawks need a big win against division-leading Minnesota. They hope to get it in St. Paul. Hawks Wild, pregame at 6:30, the puck drop at 7. Every minute of Chicago Blackhawks action this season on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN.
Attention, men. If you have tried or wanted to try Viagra or Cialis, or if you've ordered an over-the-counter product in the last few years, Noxetril is an option that is completely private, has received tremendous reviews, and can be at your door in just days. Pharmaceutical companies dislike us because we present a real option to their higher prices and insurance limitations. After years of research, Noxetril has been developed and formulated in U.S. FDA labs, packed with the highest quality potent ingredients. Noxetril is a true breakthrough in male potency. This remarkable all-natural pill is being called Viagra on steroids and is known as a powerful winner. So what are you waiting for? Call now and ask how to get your free supply.
Call now and get your free supply. Call 800-575-6039. That's 800-575-6039. Improve your sex life with your free supply. Call 800-575-6039. That's 1-800-575-6039.
The Stem Cell Institute of America is coming to Chicagoland. If you're suffering with pain from osteoarthritis of the knee, low back pain, shoulder pain, neuropathy, or even joint pain, stop and listen. These are must-attend stem cell therapy educational seminars. You'll find solutions for your pain, along with cutting-edge information that could really help change the way you live. With over 20 seminars in Chicago and throughout the suburbs, including Schaumburg, Naperville, Gurnee, Aurora, Crystal Lake, and many more, you need to attend one of these seminars. It could be a life-changing experience. Call 844-543-5633 to register for one of our upcoming seminars. For more information, visit stemcelltherapyforpain.com. Start living life once again. Call 844-543-5633 or visit stemcelltherapyforpain.com. 844-543-5633. That's 844 844-
800-543-5633.
Hello, Bill.
Wendy, nice to see you. And it's nice to see Eric Zorn.
Zorn, Zorn, Zorn.
Wendy sings the praises of Zorn.
That's excellent. Thank you.
Of course, Eric is a fine columnist for your Chicago Tribune. And I know you have a very specific opinion about Neil Gorsuch. And that opinion would be what?
Well, I think the Democrats should fight this nomination. He, of course, is the Trump administration's nominee to take this seat that Antonin Scalia vacated about a year ago when he died.
Yeah.
And I think that the Democrats should simply refuse to seat him. Now, it's not going to work because the Republicans in the Senate, it requires Senate approval, and the Republicans in the Senate, if they decide to, can vote to just make it a majority vote, and they've got 52 votes in the Senate. They can easily confirm him. But to do so, they're going to have to invoke what's called the nuclear option, which is it gets rid of the filibuster.
They shouldn't call it that.
Yeah, it's a little bit raw,
isn't
it?
A little dark.
But you know, my sense is that the Senate is going to play hardball with the Democrats. And what happened last year was that after Scalia died, immediately the Republicans said, we're not going to confirm, no matter who it is who President Obama nominates. He's in his last year of his presidency.
He had 10 months to go.
We're not going to even give him a hearing. They didn't even give him a hearing. And they nominated Merrick Garland from Lincolnwood. And, you know, that violated all the norms of the Senate. And it basically said, well, if you're president, you're only president for 3 years, not four. And that just goes against, you know.
It was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. And they just played hard. And the thing was that Obama nominated Garland. Garland was very centrist. He could have nominated and maybe should have nominated someone like Loretta Lynch, his attorney general, who
someone
was much
far more to the left.
Yeah, he had some civil rights warriors who were on his list. He did not nominate anyone to the left. He nominated someone in the middle, and he thought that was extending an olive branch to the Republicans. Like, look, I'm going to give you a guy who is not particularly liberal. He's you know, kind of down the middle. And that's where the country is, really. If you've, you know, I know the country is very polarized, but if you mix it all together, the country's down the middle. So President Obama tried to play nice and you know, go by the rules, and they just flicked him off. So now you have a situation where where Donald Trump has nominated Gorsuch, who's pretty far to the right. Mm-hmm. Some analysis say that he's more to the right than Antonin Scalia.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take the court, and he's going to restore a conservative majority to the court. And this is a seat that arguably belongs to Merrick Garland, belongs to a Democratic president. I think the Democrats should fight this. It's not going to work because the Republicans will invoke this rule, but it doesn't matter because they're going to invoke this rule whenever they decide it fits their purposes anyway. They're not going to play nice. The Democrats have been bringing knives to gunfights with the Republicans for way too long. They just have to, and I know it's like, well, do two wrongs make a right? Well, you know, in some ways, you have to show that you've got some backbone, you've got some spine. You're going to stand up to these tactics, and you're going to play as tough as they are going to play. And you know, I've gotten a lot of pushback on the column. I did a column on this for Sunday. I got a lot of pushback from people who are on the Democratic on the left side saying, "Well, no, let's take the high road.
Sure,
they'll go low and we'll go high, and we'll give this guy a fair hearing and we'll give him a fair vote based on his qualifications." And my response to that is that the high road has led right to the edge of a cliff for Democrats, and that they need to get back up on their hind legs and fight for this and make it about principle. And make them invoke this nuclear option and lay it out and say, okay, this is the way things are going to be from now on. And if the country, the voters decide that's what they want, then that's too bad for the Democrats, but they've lost. If the voters decide that this is not how they want things to run and they mm-hmm. want more balance, then they're going to have to elect more Democrats. I mean, I think it's the only way to go because otherwise they're just going to get steamrolled.
Don't you think that the Democrats didn't make a huge deal out of the fact that they were railroaded, even though there was 10 months left in Obama's presidency? His pick was put on hold. Don't you think a big deal wasn't made because nobody truly expected Donald Trump to win? Even the Republicans were doubling down and saying, if we get our president in the White House, then we also get our Supreme Court justice. Don't you think nobody just thought it would end that way?
It was brilliant on the part of the Republicans to do that because, yes, they thought until the very end that Trump was going to lose. In fact, a couple of days before the election, John McCain came out and along with, there's another prominent Republican, I'm blanking on the name right now. They both came out and said that no matter who Hillary Clinton put up, they weren't going to seat that justice either, that they were going to continue to block because they thought that there were eight justices was enough for the Supreme Court. They thought Trump was going to lose. What happens is that generally the right, generally conservatives are more animated about the Supreme Court than people on the left.
Yeah.
Obama and the Democrats and Hillary Clinton did not make a big deal about what was going on with Garland. I mean, they talked about it a little bit, but this was not a big theme in
this
election.
I would have fought that if I were them, too. I mean, not
they
even
didn't.
Talking to
they
Merrick
didn't,
Garland.
Because they were so sure Hillary Clinton would be
they
in the White House
sure.
that they thought it doesn't matter.
And the worst-case scenario for the Democrats was that Hillary Clinton was going to get elected and she was going to nominate Merrick Garland. So they were going to get Garland either
Regardless.
Way, they thought. So why not try fighting
Always it? Assume the unexpected. That's
and
what we
the
have
other
to
thing,
now.
The brilliant thing that the Republicans did, was, and Trump did, is he put out a list of conservative jurists mm-hmm. who he thought would be good for the court. And there are a lot of people on the right who realize the importance, and they're completely correct about this. The Supreme Court is a very, very important part of our society. The
sure.
way our society gets shaped, who's on that court, the ideological tilt of those justices is extremely important. And so they saw this lying con man, Donald Trump, with his, you know, five children by three wives and his vulgar statements and his bigoted statements. They see all those things, but they still see this guy, no matter what, if he's elected, he's going to appoint justices to the Supreme Court that are going to dovetail with our views, and that's worth it. And that's how a lot of people on the right vote, and the left doesn't seem to think that way, and they're going to pay a price for
yeah.
it. I think so. I think it's really important for the Democrats to fight really hard on this, and we'll see what happens.
It's Eric Zorn. Read him in the Chicago Tribune. We'll take a quick break and then find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Kim, thanks very much. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill, and that's Wendy. And for the next couple hours, we'll do our best to either entertain you, or enlighten you, or educate you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't standing by.
Kevin told us to stand by, Wendy. Didn't you hear him say to?
I know, but I like to be a rebel sometimes.
Well, you proved yourself a rebel. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. A couple of highlights are what we hope will be highlights. Highlight number one, Tony Abruscato has been with us before. He's the director of the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. Valentine's Day, as it turns out, is just around the corner. So he'll tell us some ideas beyond roses. Roses are always nice, but there's other options for Valentine's Day.
I like tulips.
Yeah.
I really do.
Why wouldn't you? They're beautiful.
They are beautiful.
Stunning. And then earlier in the show, I was explaining a situation I had over the weekend with some food. We were invited to a friend's house, and I was not a fan of what they were serving. So I...
Listen to what you're saying, though.
I know,
just
it
listen
sounds
to...
awful. I saw the text. People are they're
really? I didn't
angry
read
at me. Oh, the
Why
the
don't
text.
You call listeners so we get great audio?
Oh, the text. Everybody was very upset. I don't want to go into detail now, but my friend Leo has agreed to come on. It was his house where the incident took place over the weekend.
The incident.
If you were listening, you know what I'm referring to. If not, you'll hear more about it later. That happens at 2:35. Leo will be with us, my friend Leo. Did you see this giant fireball in the sky? Or it happened early this morning?
I only saw a video of it, and I'm very bummed because I love outer space stuff.
Yeah.
And... I told you this off the air, and you completely dismissed me, and now I'm dismissing myself.
Because it's impossible.
Well, I like to think that anything's possible.
Anyone who watched the game last night knows that that's true.
Get Tom Brady on the phone.
Or watch the Cubs, that's true, or was a fan of the politics.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
I can't remember what night it was, but I'm pretty sure it was over the weekend. I saw... a shining star
yeah.
that was bigger and brighter than anything I have ever seen. And
Where were you?
I was
were
in
you
the
in your yard?
Backyard.
Yeah.
I was actually walking up the driveway.
Yeah.
Towards my backyard. And it really took me by surprise because I'm like, oh my God, is that an airplane? Because it looked like it was moving. And then I looked again and it's no, it wasn't moving. And then it was giant. And mm-hmm. I've seen planets before, and I have that stupid app that you can hold up in the sky and it
Did
tells
you, do
you
that?
What no I
you didn't
had,
do that
I needed space on my phone, so I kind of deleted that app.
Well, you would have gotten space on your phone.
Isn't that ironic?
It is.
Isn't it ironic?
It was real bright.
It was the bright. I know. And again, I've seen planets before, and they're typically in that same spot of the backyard.
Right.
I know we're rotating. I know that.
You
I get it.
Sure.
But this was something that was very peculiar. And now,
which night was this?
I don't remember, but it was definitely, it could have been.
Like a few days ago, though?
Yeah.
A few nights ago? Yeah.
So then all of a sudden this meteor comes down, and I'm like, maybe that it was the meteor that was just so far away getting closer and closer, and you
but
said
a meteor,
impossible.
It's impossible because a meteor burns itself out right away. It doesn't survive for days. It just quickly burns itself out. Because we had science class, and I attended.
Well, maybe it was burning bright, and it was moving towards the Earth.
There's no, there's never been a meteor that's it couldn't last for days.
I guess, that's right.
We're thinking of a comet.
Comets could last for days.
Meteor, what you see is them burning out. That's what you're...
Yeah.
But I think I saw it burning before it burned out.
Like nothing we tell you is going to change your mind, is it?
Yeah, I guess not. No. But it was... I love space. We got to get Lucianne Wachowicz on here again.
We have to.
Okay.
You talked a hard game there. Steve didn't want her. I didn't want her. But you made your point. We should have her on to discuss this.
She's here for Wendy.
But now what is the story about this meteor? Because, I mean, how scary would that be?
Well, I don't think they even know for sure. The last I heard was prior to the show, but they weren't even positive it was a meteor. But it's on video. I mean, somebody taped it with a phone.
Some dash cams got it, I think, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it looks like, this will sound awful, but it looks like some aircraft, like a plane or something.
Fireball.
On fire, that's what it looks like.
But it was white.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a comet.
It's not a comet.
It couldn't be a comet.
It was a meteor. Meteorite. When does a meteor turn into a meteorite? No, this is not a joke.
This is from Wendy has an astronomical Dixie Riddle Cup set that she brings out every once in a while.
The meteors that vote Republican are meteorites.
I don't know what the difference is.
I have no idea what the difference is.
Yeah, I'm very curious
because
I heard about this and then I saw the video. And if you saw this live, it's incredible to see.
A meteoroid, a small particle from an asteroid or comet, orbiting the sun. A meteor is a meteoroid that is observed as it burns up in the Earth's atmosphere, or a shooting star, if you will.
I will.
And a meteorite is a meteoroid that survives its passage through the Earth's atmosphere and impacts the Earth's surface. That's what I saw.
Is that what it was?
It was on our way. It was on the way.
Can we still have Lucianne on?
Yeah, because I'm sure I didn't.
All right.
Okay.
Study
then, we're fine with it.
Was there any damage? Is anyone hurt?
I don't think there was. There wasn't any, right?
I don't know if they found what you're saying, what they would have found on the ground would be the meteorite.
Well, as of this morning, unless this has changed since, I know it could be seen in several different states, Illinois being one of them, and they were figuring out with the trajectory of where it was heading that it was more than likely aimed somewhere toward Lake Michigan. So they thought if it had landed somewhere, it probably would have been in the lake. That was as of early this morning. It may have changed since then.
All right. Well, I'm fascinated by outer spatial stuff.
It was really cool to see.
Although scary, I got to admit.
Well, sure, because you don't know what it is. And, I mean, there's always going to be people who go, well, there's your UFO right there. And then there's other more science-based people who are sure it's a meteor or meteorite or meteoroid.
Have we settled on a day for Lucianne?
I think the rest of the week is good.
I'm open.
Have her tomorrow and Wednesday, Thursday. Do a 4-part series.
All right, Steve, you're not even down here when the 13th hottest, sexiest scientist comes by.
She's too hot. I can't get that close.
Like a meteorite.
Yep. Talk about burning fast. There you have it.
Don't say that to Steve.
All right, let's...
Not that fast.
Not that fast, please. All right.
Well, what, do you just stare at her through the camera?
What do you care if I do?
All right, it's time for a break. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back with more show. We're at 312-981-7200. You already know that. Call us or text us. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. A couple things. We were talking about this fireball that streaked through the sky late last night into early this morning. I don't know if anybody had a chance to see it. We're at 312-981-7200. Give us a call if you did. I'd love to hear a firsthand account. But they're thinking meteorite, meteoroid.
Meteor. They're just saying meteor.
Meteor.
According to the American Meteor Society, they list sightings in Indiana, Michigan, and other states as well. And meteorologist Jeff Last of the National Weather Service's office in Green Bay, Wisconsin, says the meteor was accompanied by a sonic boom that shook houses in the region. And Last says radar shows the meteor passing over Lake Michigan, but he said it's not clear if it landed in the water or just broke up in the sky above the water.
Yeah, that's what they were trying to determine as of this morning.
Aliens.
Now, well, it's obviously aliens. It's obviously aliens. You're listening to the George Norrie Show on WGN. Do you remember, like, forever, whenever anybody would mention comets, there was one comet that seemed to be the one that was the default comet of choice?
Which we all said one way, and then years later, they told us it was another way.
We always said Halley's Comet.
Always.
But it is Halley's Comet.
Won't accept it.
Right? No, it is. It's Halley's
Comet. I'm not calling it that.
But do you remember also when we were in grade school, there was another comet that took place that just never got the PR at all?
Yes.
Do you remember what it was called?
Nope. But I do remember there was another one.
Steve, do you?
The Vomit Comet?
It was not the Vomit Comet. That's not even close to correct.
Good guess. What did it start with?
I want to say a K, either a C or a K, but I think a K.
I almost just said chlamydia.
It was, no, that, why would they name a comet
that? I don't, that would be a bad one.
It would be one
and
of
And that's a C anyway.
You actually top, in terms of bad names for comets, I thought Steve was going to win, but you beat him.
I really appreciate you taking
Wait, it was something.
Took the pressure off
Kaka.
There.
Kaka.
No.
Come.
You can do this.
Just give it a little bit, because it's right there.
You're very close. You're really close. And I believe it was named for the scientist who discovered it, right, Steve? Isn't that so right?
Copernicus.
And it was not Comet Copernicus. And Kevin, can I ask you a favor really quickly? I know you're on the phone applying for other jobs. Could you, no, I can't ask him to find the song without giving him the name. But there was a song. It never made top 40, but somebody wrote a song about this particular comet, and it got some airplay here in town, I remember, despite it not being a very good song. It still got a bunch of airplay. Does that help at all or not?
I can't think of it, but I do remember
there.
Yeah.
Kohoutek.
Oh, that's right.
Comet Kohoutek. Kevin, see if you can find that song. It must be somewhere on YouTube.
Can we talk to David real quickly? Because you saw this thing last night?
I did see it. It was the freakiest thing I've ever seen. It's kind of a comet. At first, I thought it was like a fighter jet airplane kind of thing or a spaceship. And it had like a dual exhaust streak behind it. Okay.
So
and
two tails, kind of.
Two tails, like coming from a dual exhaust, which is why I thought it was some kind of machine at first. And they were bright orange, streaking across in the north sky, 45-degree angle-ish, maybe a little bit less than that.
Heading downward.
Downward, but no, kind of more horizontally.
Oh, really? Okay.
45-ish, but in a downward motion, yes.
Yeah.
And it filled the sky. It went from, if you're looking north, you've got a 180-degree view looking there. It filled almost the whole thing by the time it shot across.
That's where were you when you saw it?
I was out in the back.
In porch. What town?
What town?
I was in Elmhurst.
Oh, really? That close to here. Wow.
Yeah.
So then
yes.
Does the whole sky around it, does the sky around it turn an orangey color, or how does that work?
Well, it lit up, and it you could see the tail for miles.
You could.
I mean, oh, yeah, it stayed. You could see the orange streaks for the length of this thing before it exploded, which is then that I thought it was some kind of missile.
So you saw it explode?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And did you, I know this is a silly question because I know what I would do. Did you call 911 or something?
No, I didn't. Then I thought it had to be a natural phenomenon. I just realized it's probably a meteor that came really close to the Earth, and I was just really lucky to finally see something like that for the first time in my life. I've seen shooting stars. I've seen those meteor showers. The Perseus, I think it was called.
Perseid.
Right? Perseid. I've seen those. Now, this thing was way closer, way bigger, way more vivid. It dwarfed anything I've ever seen.
Wow. Were you by yourself?
Phenomenon. Yeah. Unfortunately, but yeah, I got
No, that's the drag. There's no one
with me.
And you didn't video it or anything?
It happened too quickly.
Did you drop the bong?
No, I'll balance it by right hand.
All right, good.
I would guess a natural phenomenon that I was lucky enough to be to witness. The only thing I could say is maybe this is what the northern lights are like, something like that, when they're that vivid and that bright, because it was extremely bright. I'm surprised more people didn't see it, but it didn't last very long.
How cool
How
is
long,
that?
When you say not very long, you're talking just a few short seconds, right? It's that quick?
Yeah, yeah. Basically. I would say maybe 10.
Yeah, that's it. Start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. You're so lucky you saw it. What time was this?
It was a very loud boom at the end, yes.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought maybe that's a missile.
Yeah.
But it was the only one, so.
You having a Slurpee or a pistachio nuts?
What's that?
Are you having a Slurpee or pistachio nuts?
No, I'm sipping coffee here.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
Wendy, the man was through an ordeal.
I'm sorry.
Come on.
I'd like to find out some answers, though. Did you guys call, you know,
NORAD?
Somebody from NASA or something and try to figure out what this was?
We got to get Luciana on. Let's see if we can get her on tomorrow. She works at the Adler Planetarium, and she would be able to help us. She's a scientist.
Yep.
Yeah, because I mean, for the common observer, it's a phenomenon like nothing I've seen before.
That's so kick-ass.
That's devastating.
It was quite a pleasure.
And what time did you say, David, that you saw it?
I don't know. It was after 12, though. I had gotten home from the Super Bowl, and it was a little bit later than that, probably. So I don't know the exact time, but it was into the morning, I would say.
Well,
after
cool.
midnight. Well, thank you, David. Yeah. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks. Can we talk to Patty real quick, too?
Oh, yes.
All right. How much of what David said is accurate, according to your eyes, Patty?
Absolutely accurate. I was just coming down my driveway. I live in Riverwoods. And I would have missed it if I had come down the driveway 5 seconds later. And I looked through the woods, and I was on the phone with my friend. And I said, oh, my God, something is going through the sky. I didn't hear any boom at all. And it did last only a couple seconds, so I don't know how anyone could have taped it, because they'd have to know it was coming. And it was, I said, I don't know if a plane is going down or what, you know. And it was about, I think they said on the news today it was about 1:18 or something, which is true. That's probably what
time about
it was.
1:30 a.m. is the ballpark.
Right.
So you were on the phone with a friend at 1:30 in the morning?
Super Bowl party. Oh, yeah. They were in
I'm
late.
I'm a night person.
It's possible, Steve.
I'm a night person.
I'm not doubting her.
All right, but here's my question, and here's why we have to get Lucianne Wachowicz on if we can tomorrow, even via phone, maybe today, whatever. This obviously wasn't, we didn't get a fair warning for it.
No,
it just kind
of
happened.
Oh, no,
but how come they don't, how come the people over at Adler don't know that something, isn't somebody manning some
telescope
meteor, all the time?
I don't think there's any telltale signs. I don't think for a meteor, they just kind of burn out. You don't get any kind of a notification. You don't get a text from them going.
Yeah, but if somebody's monitoring, they'd be like incoming. Because what if it lands where houses are?
They're very small, though, Wendy.
Really?
Yeah.
It didn't seem to land on the ground. It just came down, and I didn't hear any boom. Maybe it was too far away. I was in my car.
Yeah.
And you know, it came down, and I'm thinking, well, this is weird because the Super Bowl party has been over for a while. No one's
right.
Strange. That's all I can think. It was so weird. You can think of different things. You know, flames going
down.
We
already saw the Falcons flame out.
Were you drinking fireballs?
Yeah, I was, I think. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Okay.
Thanks, Patty.
Bye-bye.
So they look really big because of the brightness, but I think, Wendy, they're very small. It's not like you could keep
like a basketball?
Or smaller.
Yeah, but still, if that's hauling ass towards Earth and it lands through your roof,
well,
you're in trouble.
Makes an impact.
I know, but I mean, it's not something they're really tracking, I don't think.
I guess, but it just seems like you can. Now they predict tornadoes before tornadoes even form.
Right.
How come there's no meteorite warning system?
Of the elements that go into the creation of a tornado a meteor, there's no telltale sign that it's about to happen, you know, so there's no way to.
Aren't you jealous you didn't see it?
Well, I'm just glad. I mean, I've watched the video of it a bunch of times.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. But you say to yourself in those few seconds, because your mind wants to figure it out when you see something like that. You're like, what could that be? And I told you that would have been my fear. Is you think, oh no, that's got to be an airplane, but it wasn't. Luckily.
How freaky cool.
Yeah, very strange. All right, a quick break. Steve with the news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Sun's love in the spring becomes the rose.
I am covered in goosebumps.
How
and you are
not,
crying.
How could you not? Very moving.
We have Tony Abruscato here, director of the Chicago Flower and Garden Show.
Can you hand me a Kleenex, Tony, please?
I'm going to need a minute.
You're going to need it too. Yeah, it's very emotional.
Boy, you forget how beautiful that song is.
Yep.
You really are crying.
Acting.
Oh, you're good.
Thank you.
All right, Tony, you did bring us a rose.
We did.
That was so nice of you, Tony. Thank you.
Y'all, you're welcome. Nice little long stem passion rose.
Mm, roses smell so good. But now, are there other ideas for Valentine's Day beyond the rose?
There is to tie back in. And we tell people, you know, flowers, of course, we're the flower and garden show. So we talk about there's just not the rose, but there's other flowers that you can bring in.
But to be fair, there are people who the rose is the flower.
Your wife?
Not my wife, but I do know people who go, why would you get anything other than a rose? They're perfect. So to those people, yeah, have at it. Get some roses.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things we have, there's also, you know, people always ask about the different color of the roses, too, which is, so when you tie in, is it a red rose, is it a lavender rose, and it all depends what you mean. So it's like, hey,
I love you, right?
Red is the deep one. Red is the love. But an orange is enthusiasm and passion, so you can do that. Or
nothing a woman likes more than having a guy tell him that he's enthusiastic about her.
They say, passion. Oh my gosh, I love you, and they say thank you, and give them a orange rose.
Well, orange, you just said, is passion. Also, the fires from within.
Oh, yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
So if they give you the yellow,
just
is
jauntous.
Friendship and good health. So that's the one, you know, where it's not going.
Watch out for you.
You didn't do this in high school, I don't think.
Why?
But in our high school, during lunch, you could buy someone a rose.
An admirer.
Right. And white, I think, was the secret admirer.
Right.
Red was, I love you. Yellow was a friend. Pink, I don't remember. Is there something for pink?
Pink is sweetness and happiness.
I never got any of the pink ones.
We always thought pink meant I like you, red meant I love you. Is that possible?
Yeah. I mean, you can, you know.
What's I used to like you? Is there a color
for that? That's the black.
They do have black roses.
They do,
yeah.
And not dead. They're actually black roses, aren't they?
Yeah, black roses. So that would be the one.
Yeah.
Maybe that's for like the ex-wife or the ex-husband.
Right.
You could do that.
Sure.
But now that I'm thinking back of high school, it's like, you know, yeah, there was a girl who had a bunch of flowers, but hers were all yellow. So that's kind of lame.
It's better to have one red than a dozen yellow, isn't it?
Absolutely. Don't you think? Absolutely. Unless you're the florist.
And then volume.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to go with that.
How do you, I mean, I know it's all part of, you don't dye the flowers, right? You just hybrid them to make a black rose or what have you.
They are hybrid into those different colors. So you don't dye them. There's a new thing out and I was in Ecuador a while back and I was visiting some of the rose farms and they had these different colored, they looked like dyed roses. And I posted them on my, you know, the Flower Show Facebook page. And people were like bananas. Some
really?
People were like,
I bet.
They were like, oh, that's, you know, oh, that's really cool. And then there were the diehards on there like, this is disgusting. Like, I can't believe you have this red, white, and, you know, blue rose or a green and yellow. And
they could make the same rose, could be red, white, and blue, or you're mixing red roses, white roses.
No, they had, that was the same rose. And they were in different colored petals. So you could take like, they had them to go with like college and you could do,
your school colors,
the school colors and all these things like that. And
that's
it was
excellent.
Well, it's kind of fun for a themed thing, but you know, the purest, you
he
know,
wants a red rose.
You know,
she wants
be
a
that,
red
yeah,
rose.
It's got to be that.
What
red
about
rose?
Charlie Rose? What do you make? He's pretty good.
Derek Rose.
Derek Rose. Is great. Right.
All right. I have a question. Speaking of the hybrids,
our roses last longer than
yes. good call. So I know this is kind of off topic, but I'm asking you because you're here. I like white cone flowers. They're like called the white swan or something. And as they come back every year, they're perennials. They're losing their white and turning purple. Because that's where they first came from. Why does that happen?
Sometimes it has to do, and probably some horticulturists may call and say I'm wrong, but my understanding, a lot of sometimes is the acidity in the soil changes the color of the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And so you may look at that pH and acid mix in the soil. But that's what I'm pretty sure that. I think it is. So that'll happen sometimes.
All right. All the different colored roses. Is there a color of the year?
So this year, you know, Pantone, when they say pink is the new black, it's Pantone that sets what the new color is. And so this year it's greenery. And so
Pantone is a company.
Pantone is a company and it's a standard measure of color. So like the WGN blue is Pantone number, you know, 1, 2, 3, and then the red is another Pantone color. So it's what really sets the standard. So when you walk into, you know, the paint store to get a certain color, it's that Pantone color in a sense that it is, and like the brand standard. So this year it's all about greenery. And wow. So the Pantone color is actually greenery, and it's a very cool color. It's
one specific shade of green or all green?
No, it's that one specific shade of green.
What would it be akin to? If people wanted to compare it to something, what would you say it would
be? It's kind of it's a light creamy green.
Oh.
It's not quite as, it's not limey.
Like Shamrock Shakes?
More beige. Is it more beige?
No, like, it's a little brighter than that. Probably a little less than the Shamrock Shake.
Yeah.
Look at Bill. You guys should hook up.
I base all my colors on McDonald's foods.
Listen, the last time we did our jackets, I told the person doing the jackets, I said, I need like Frango Mint Green.
Yeah, that makes sense.
People understand.
I know
that
color.
Yeah.
All right.
So Pantone, which I didn't know, Incorporated is the authority on color, provider of color systems, and leading technology for accurate communication of color.
Yeah.
So they've got the market. That's the color. People.
That's the color. That's the color palette. So, you know, when you go into, Sorsum, there's a big color wheel.
Yeah.
You know, and they have all their different colors, but it really generates off of Pantone. And it really started like in the graphic design business, and you get in the brand standards, and you know, Cubby Blue is, you know, that color. It has to be that
because Pantone says it is.
And that's what they say.
They also make shampoo and conditioner, don't they?
Right. It's wonderful. I use it every day.
Pantene.
Come on, you guys. Yeah. So if the color of the year is greenery, are we going to be seeing for instance, bridal bouquets? Are they going to be covered now more in green than white?
You will. You'll see a lot. You'll see it infiltrating everything that we do. So containers, vases, you'll see even pillows and accent colors will be, and it'll kind of just work its way through. And we'll start with those floral bouquets, so you'll start putting greenery inside of those.
Yeah.
But the big thing now is, like right now, my trunk of my car is filled with like everything that's in this greenery color as I do some of these segments and talk about that. And so you'll see people just start picking that up. And that's like for a long time, orange was really big. And you saw
yeah.
And so it just slowly works its way through. And this year it happens to be green, which is terrific for the garden show.
Sure. Yeah.
We're all about green.
Couldn't be better.
And greening. And so, but you know, the cool thing is that you can get succulents. So your cactus type
yeah.
plants are kind of in that greenery color as well. And so for those that can't do a house plant that well, but can do very great in their yard.
Why are you pointing at me?
Because we're talking, I was sharing inside
secrets. I have fake succulents. There, take it.
So you've killed fake succulents. But those succulents and things are in that greenery color. And so those are great things to do. One of my favorite things are terrariums, because I grew up in my era, terrariums were big.
They were very popular.
And coming back, Tony, you know that, right?
I am single-handedly working on bringing back.
That?
I'm very, very tough into the terrarium
world.
And so right now I've been giving them out as gifts and I do different things. And, but that's something where, you know, you can actually make that yourself. And I think that's a great, when you're talking about Valentine's Day gift.
Wouldn't that be cool?
You do it.
Do you remember they used to make those tables? They were full like coffee tables and it was a terrarium in the center, but still could serve as a table. I loved those.
Absolutely. And the thing is they need so little care that they'll last a long time.
Yeah.
And those coffee table things were great. I've been doing things where, found something that's meaningful to you. So if there was, like if you were a kid and you kept your fishbowl, you could turn that into a terrarium now, or you could find if it's not a terrarium, it could be succulents though, and take it like an old coffee mug or something that you had from a date or something and make that somewhat romantic and pull it back into and say, oh my gosh, you took that coffee mug from when we went to Disney World and turned it into a planter for Valentine's
Day. What a great idea.
My daughter Reese made one a couple of weeks ago, a little glass terrarium, and she put, when Christmas ended, you know, we had those strings of little white lights.
Right.
They're smaller than traditional Italian lights. They're really, really small.
Rice lights
I think that's what they're called. And she kind of wrapped those around the plant so that when the room is dark, that still lights up. It's stunning. It's so beautiful.
It's wonderful. And you can do all of that. And you can even, now we've been doing them in the office where you layer in the different colored sands on the bottom. So you can kind of do that and do the succulents. I've got one. He's probably listening, so I'm going to say it, but we have the Eleanor Sis Daly Award for Excellence in Horticulture, and it was this beautiful glass vase with a lid, and so I had the prototype in my office, which we just turned into a terrarium not too long ago.
Oh,
but
cool.
But it's a great way to do it. And again, if you can go to your local store and buy one. You know, Mariano's is our partner. You can go to a Mariano store and buy one. You can go to a flower shop to buy them, but you know, you can make one. You can buy all the plants and kind of make it yourself, which is, you know, really kind of cool.
It is nice.
Will you show people how to do that at the Chicago Flower Show?
Well, yes, we will.
That's nice of you, Tony.
We have our classes. We have 120 different classes at the show. And so we'll be doing terrariums, and we have our potting parties, which are container gardening classes. So we'll
teach
people
how to do
that.
Is that like the ones you used to go to, Wendy?
No, that's a different.
That's right. We're waiting for the grow your own parties that, you know, one of these days.
Pretty soon,
yeah,
I betcha.
It's coming. And then
container or in the yard? That'll be the big question.
And it's all about hydroponics.
Yes.
And so, but we'll have the container gardening classes, and then we're doing STEM studios where. Three, 4 times a day, we'll be doing demos on how to create your own floral bouquet.
Oh my God!
And so teaching
I gotta
people
go
the inside
one of these
secrets.
Years. All right, where is it? Because I don't have that information. Where is the Chicago Flower and Garden Show? I know it's happening February 6th.
Nope, it's today's February 6th. Oh. March 18th. It's happening March 18th through the 26th at Navy Pier.
Mm-hmm.
We're 170 years old this year.
You look great. I don't know what you're doing, Tony.
Year three.
But you look
I didn't
fantastic.
Come in until later.
All right.
You know, so but we're at Navy Pier. The nice thing, everything is Chicago Flower. So our website, chicagoflower.com, and our Facebook, Instagram, all of those things. So we'll be having all of these flowers and the succulents and small space design that people can come in and learn all about.
Some more ideas coming your way. We're going to take a quick break. 312-981-7200. We've got Tony Abruscato in the studio, director of the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, which is happening the weekend of March 18th.
Through the 26th, nine days long.
Okay.
God. And Navy Pier.
All right, thanks. Thanks for telling me.
I'm here for you.
Okay. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN. Was this your selection?
This is Seal. No, this was Kevin's, but, you know, I can't say no to Seal.
It's Bill and Wendy and Tony Abruscato, director of the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, which is happening March 18th through the 26th at Navy Pier. Everything, flowers, plants, anything you want, you can go to chicagoflower.com to find more information. Is that where you get your tickets to?
That's where you can get your tickets for the show, which makes a great gift as well.
Tony's been kind enough. Before the segment is over, somebody listening will win a pair of tickets to the Home and Garden Show. So keep listening for that.
All right. We teased the fact that there are other flowers and plants and Valentine's Day ideas other than a rose. So give us some ideas.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things people always ask me about growing plants and they say, what should I grow? And I always tell people, grow what you like. What kind of flowers do you like? So, you know, try to be in tune to what your partner, wife, husband, spouse, whatever they like. So it might be hydrangeas or tulips, or it might be what's their favorite color, and then find a plant that flies into that. My ex loved tropicals.
Oh.
And so it was always a bird of paradise.
Yeah.
And so I would always get bird of paradise.
And those those grow here, but inside,
well,
right?
Well, they were cut. They were cut. But you could get a plant. They're a little bit more difficult to find, but it was a great way. And it's kind of whatever you do, you know, don't have to overstate the obvious, but whatever you do, try to tune into what it is that your significant other likes.
Yeah.
And so you may like roses, but maybe they hate roses, you know, and I have a friend of mine that like, we were joking about the color of roses earlier, but I have a friend of mine and that does not like yellow roses at all, maybe because she found out that they meant friendship. but it's one of those things. I have a note in my contacts that says does not like yellow flowers. So if I'm ever going to send her flowers, it's never
Don't do yellow.
Flowers. Don't do yellow.
Grow what you like, Wendy.
All right. Well, I love hibiscus.
I grow Chinese food.
How's that going for you?
It takes forever, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, it's terrible.
You
it's
mentioned
awful.
Bird of paradise. I love a hibiscus. I have a hibiscus tattoo. I really love hibiscus. Is that a plant that I can grow in my house?
Absolutely. Hibiscus you can do. And some of those you can do the hibiscus outside. They tend to be a little bit touchier. Some people take them back inside during winter. Or what I've done, I've got a house in Michigan. I end up covering them up and kind of protecting them because they don't like too much of the cold,
right,
depending on the one you get. But absolutely, those are things that you can grow. And especially if you have a patio or a balcony. And that's one of the things we talk about at the show. Look, you don't have to have this big yard. If you have a balcony or you have a patio, you can come in and do the – we were joking about the potting parties or container gardening classes.
Yeah.
But we'll teach you how to do these plants in these containers. And
then, sometimes that's all you have room for.
I have in the city, I have a 5 foot by 12 foot balcony. I mean, that's it. I've got three containers out there, and that's as good as it gets. But I make the best of it. I've got herbs in there and veggies as well as the blooming blooming flowers. And again, I grow what I like.
Do you get jealous? Every house has a neighborhood where it's like a showplace for flowers and plants, just all around the house. You've seen that.
Oh yeah,
you get jealous when you see that.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I have plant envy.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah,
it's beautiful to see.
I do too, but I actually have rung people's doorbells and asked what kind of plant that is, and everybody I know I'm like that. If somebody asks me, I like to share my knowledge of it, and it's
absolutely.
Like. A lot of times you don't know, you can name the name of a plant, and if I don't know what it looks like, it doesn't really help me. But if you go, I like that one. So you will identify plants at the Chicago Flower Show as well?
We will, and we actually are creating an app.
Yes.
So that you can come in. We talked about Grow It the last time I was here. And Grow It is making a specific tour app of the Flower and Garden Show. So when you come in, you can press on Garden 1 or Garden 2 or all of them. We have 24 gardens. And you can press on it. It'll tell you about the garden itself and who built it and what it's all about. But then the next page will take you to all the plants that are in that garden.
Yeah.
And then you can click on a specific plant and it'll tell you about all the care instructions and what it's about. And we're the only show in the world that has that app.
That's
right.
Impressive.
Now. So we're very excited about that. Yeah.
What if you have somebody who is a gardener? Doesn't your wife like to plant
she
stuff
does enjoy
outside?
It. Yeah.
So for a Valentine's Day gift, instead of getting maybe a dozen roses, what about some seeds of some plants she might want to plant in the springtime?
Absolutely. Seeds are a great way, and now's a good time to start them. A lot of them starting in February and March is a great time to start plants for the yard. It's also a less expensive way to beautify your yard.
Mm-hmm.
We even have one of our partners at the Flower and Garden Show, funnest two women in the world, and Carrie and Carol with the Seed Keeper Company. And they actually have a whole kit that you can buy. That's how you can keep your seeds and organized and getting you started. So there's another thing that you can do. So getting in a seed keeper packet and coming in together is an awesome way to
do
it.
That sounds like a great gift.
Yeah, it's fun.
Tony, you're kind enough. You have a pair of tickets to give away to the Home and Garden Show. Pick a number between 1 and 20.
11.
11. If you're caller 11 right now at 312-981-7200, you and a friend or a relative or somebody that you don't get along with but you're hoping will become closer by seeing the Home and Garden Show, we'll get to go see it together. Be caller 11, 312-981-7200.
And if you'd like tickets, if you don't win them from us, you can go to chicagoflower.com. Can you also find out information about a legacy tree or memorial tree? We're kind of out of time, but I wanted to have you touch on this kind of quickly.
Absolutely. You can go to gatewaygreen.org, and Chicago Gateway Green will accept donations, and you can do a donation in somebody's honor that'll help Green Chicago.
That's awesome. Tony Abruscato, director of the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. I'm telling you, I'm going this year. I really am.
I'm going to be looking for you.
March 18th through the 26th at Navy Pier. If you want tickets, go to chicagoflower.com. And if you go shopping at Mariano's and get flowers.
February 11th through the 14th, if you make a rose bouquet purchase, you'll get one free ticket to the Flower and Garden Show.
How about that?
It's a nice deal. Tony, thank you so much for coming
by. Thank you,
by.
Guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Congrats to Mike in Rockford. I will see you at the Chicago Flower Show, Flower and Garden Show, March 18th through the 26th, Navy Pier. Go to chicagoflower.com. Thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. All right. Can I just say, we started talking about this a little bit earlier. Early Monday morning, like at 1:30 in the morning ballpark, there was this orb that shot across the sky. It turns out it was a meteor, and we needed some meteoroid questions answered. So where do we go? Adler Planetarium and Adler astronomer Michelle Nichols on the line. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're great. Did you get a chance to see this by any chance and not just video form?
I did not, but a colleague of mine did, and he said it was pretty spectacular. He said that it was kind of bright blue, white, teal colored at the front and an orange trail behind it, and it was bright enough to cast shadows.
All right. I want to know why there's not some kind of meteor alert system where the Adler Planetarium
Could you call Wendy, Michelle, anytime this is going to happen and warn her? She was nervous.
Get her number on speed dial.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
No, there would be an alert if we knew this one was coming. So there are searches going on all over the world with telescopes that are looking for what are called near-Earth asteroids. And so we've got a research program with a colleague, a few colleagues here at the Adler, where they take some of that preliminary info and they follow up. And so we can learn more about the orbits of these things. But they haven't found everything yet, obviously. And some stuff still slips through, especially the smaller it is, the harder it is to find. And so
that's what you said, Bill.
Yeah. Surprised us.
Michelle, the size of this, even though it could be seen from three or four or five states, the size of this is roughly the size of what, would you say? Whatever's burning up in our atmosphere is really how big, actually?
That particular one, preliminary guesstimates of the size are maybe 2 meters, so 6-ish feet in diameter.
That's still pretty big.
Yeah, for a space rock, you don't normally encounter rocks that big on an everyday basis. I mean, those quick little streaks that you might see in the sky, you go out, you go glance up, and you go, oh, there's a quick one. Those things are like grain of sand sized, and some of the bigger ones might be walnut sized. This one is the size of maybe a small golf cart.
And Michelle, well, that's a good size. I always hear about how when they do land on Earth, and they still haven't determined if this has landed on Earth or in the water, they think the water, but I always hear about scientists who want to find the remnants of it and study it. What do they learn from whatever they have found?
You can learn all sorts of stuff. It's basically the solar system reaching out and saying, here's a piece, so you don't have to go out in space and get it. Oh. So this
it's like
is
delivery, like a pizza.
Like
it's like, you know.
Yeah, there you go. So we didn't order this one, though. so you can learn about the history of the solar system. You can learn about the formation of the solar system, formation of the planets. Occasionally, these things come from they're meteors that are actually bits that have been blown off of the moon or Mars.
Yeah.
We have a couple meteorites here at the Adler you can touch that are from the moon, Mars, and a couple asteroids.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an awful lot we can learn about lots of different places by studying meteorites.
All right, I have to ask you a question. Bill tells me absolutely there's no way this could be possible, but everything's possible, so I want to ask you this question. Michelle Nichols on the line with us, Adler astronomer. This had to have been maybe a handful of days ago, maybe over the weekend, maybe 3 days ago, Friday night. I saw this really bright light in the sky. I've seen planets before. Listeners have texted saying, oh, it was just Venus you were looking at. I thought maybe it was this meteor that was on its way to Earth. And Bill said there's no way because wouldn't have taken that long.
Right, that's right. So were you possibly looking in the early evening toward the west and saw a really bright thing?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Venus. At least right now, Venus. So no, for it to get that bright, it has to be traveling really fast through the Earth's atmosphere. So if you got anybody who's not driving right now, don't take your hands off the wheel and do this. But if you happen to be sitting at a stoplight and don't have anything else to do, put your hands together, rub them real fast, and you feel heat that's caused by friction. And imagine rubbing your hands together at 10,000, 20,000 miles an hour, and that you have a lot of heat caused by a lot of friction. And so that's what these things are experiencing when they're traveling through the air. It happens really fast. And so this only took a very short period of time to go through the air. And so you're actually not even seeing the thing itself burning. You're seeing the air around it glowing. So these things are 20, 30, 40 miles above your head. And so they look like they're a lot closer, but it's really hard to judge distance when it's up above your head.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was definitely Venus that you saw.
Was Frankie Avalon singing a song about it while you were looking at it?
It was brighter than usual. Is this like a good time to look at Venus?
It's not that bad. So, yeah, when Venus is...
I said Venus, Bill.
In a particular point in its orbit where you've got enough of it lit up and it's really reflective to begin with because of all the clouds, it can show up really bright. It's just a lot of times we're competing with buildings and planes and all
smog.
Sorts of stuff. Yeah, all of it. So it's really cool that you looked up and saw that.
I love to look up. I'm sorry. Space is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you, too, about 6 feet in size, you're thinking. We're not sure if it did fall into Lake Michigan or if it kind of exploded above Lake Michigan. There were reports that there was some kind of sonic boom. Are you aware of any of this?
Yes. And so that can happen with a meteor like this. It's traveling really fast, and it's heated unevenly, and it might explode. It might be traveling faster than the speed of sound. So when it explodes, the pieces are still going to travel in the same direction as the original piece. It's not like they're just suddenly going to fall straight down. So it's still going to travel in the same direction. Now, what they're going to probably do is take all those dash cam videos and look and see if anybody else had any video, security cameras, anything. And they're also going to use sightings from folks, and they'll track it backwards to see if they can tell where it was coming from. And then they'll also use that to figure out, did it actually land in northern Lake Michigan, which it probably did. So if it did, it's probably unlikely that they're going to mount any sort of quest to go get it, because that part of the lake is pretty deep. And it's also going to look like every other rock at the bottom of the lake.
Yeah.
So
there would be nothing to set it apart, cool. Michelle, from other rocks? You, just by looking at it, you couldn't tell it apart from any other rock down there?
Yeah, if you're just glancing at it, this particular one was probably mostly rock.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's going to look a lot like other rocks. Whereas the great big meteorite that we have here from Meteor Crater in Arizona, it's mostly iron. And that's going to stand out from other rocks. So.
Is this something we should be afraid of? I'm a bit of a scaredy cat about things. I mean, should I be worried about some kind of meteorite? Because you say 6 feet about in size. If that crashes through your bedroom window, that could hurt you.
True, and that's if...
Should Wendy wear a helmet, Michelle, is what we're asking.
Well, that's if the part that crashes through your bedroom window is 6 feet in size, and it wouldn't be. Because if something that size is traveling through the air... It's going to get heated up. It's going to explode into smaller pieces. And I'll give you a great example. 2003, there's a meteor about the same size, and maybe slightly bigger, that exploded over Illinois, and pieces of it landed in Park Forest and I think Olympia Fields.
Yeah.
We have a chunk of that meteorite here where folks can see it. It traveled through the roof of a house. And it traveled through their kitchen floor.
Wow.
It hit their basement floor of the concrete, and it landed in their laundry. And they actually didn't find it for a few hours because it was in the laundry all covered up by the clothes. But when they got up, they didn't hear it when it happened. They got up, looked up, saw a hole in their kitchen roof, and saw the hole in the floor, and then went searching, and then found it later on. And luckily, we were one of the first phone calls they made, and after their insurance company, of course.
Yeah.
and so
double down on your meter insurance, Wendy.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if that's covered in
your homeowner's policy.
Active solar system? I don't know.
All right, wait. You guys laugh, but what if somebody was up making a midnight snack and happened to be standing at that part of the kitchen?
That would not be pretty.
That would not be pretty. I mean, although it would be only traveling at that point a couple hundred miles an hour.
Still.
Maybe. So, I mean, it's enough to blow a hole through the roof, but it wasn't enough to take out the house. So,
all right, interesting.
Yeah, it's extraordinarily rare for a person to get hit. And just think of there's 7 billion people on this planet, but most of it's water, most of it's unpopulated land.
Yep.
So it happens. It's just not going to... The probability is low that it's going to hit a person.
Michelle, is it true what they say, meteor showers bring May flowers?
Of course.
That is
oh,
true.
Oh, my goodness. Or we've got, meteor showers are fun because they're a totally different animal. They're caused by comets.
Yeah.
And so that's a fun time in August with the Perseid meteor shower and a few other times of year for a few other big ones.
All right. Are you good on time? We have a listener who has a question for you, but we have to take a quick break.
Sure. Bring it on.
All right. We have Michelle Nichols on the line, Adler astronomer. You can check out adlerplanetarium.org to find out all their events, all their information. It's Bill and Wendy at 720 WGN.
Michelle Nichols is on the line with us from the Adler. She's an astronomer helping us to understand the fireball that went through our sky last night.
And Steve has a question for you. Listener Steve, this is Michelle Nichols.
Hi, guys. I really like the show. Michelle, my question is this. A couple years ago, when I was leaving for work in the morning, I walked out to go to my garage, and there was a rock about the size of a baseball sitting right outside my garage door, which had never been there before. It kind of looked like a pumice landscaping stone. I went to move it, and the thing weighed about 4 or 5 pounds. So I started to look at it, and I took a magnet, put a magnet on it, and it was magnetic. The magnet would stick to it. Is this a meteor or meteorite or anything, would you think? Or...
Well, I'm really glad you asked that question because we get that question often where people say, hey, I found this thing, and is it a meteorite or a meteor wrong? So there are websites, at least one website that I can think of that has identification pictures to help you identify whether or not something was possibly a meteorite. And what we encourage people to do is go to those websites like that and look at those pictures. They usually have checklists where you can say, okay, is it magnetic? Is it this? Is it that? Because that will help weed out most of the questions. Only after that, if it passes all the tests, if it you're going, man, this sure looks like something on here that someone identifies as a meteorite, then there are other places you can go to help get it actually tested. Because the only way to really know for sure is to get it tested with the fancy equipment. So what I'm encouraging people to do is please don't show up at the Adler Planetarium's door with your rocks, only because we don't have the fancy equipment here.
Hmm.
And do you
have a website that you can recommend to him off the top of your head?
I can't remember what it is, but I will get that information to you and get it to your producer.
All right. We'll post it.
Yep. And the Field Museum does have a meteorite lab where they study meteorites there. They have a whole big collection of meteorites. So they may have information on their website as well. So I'll search for that for you.
All right, Steve.
Thank you very much.
Steve, check our Facebook page at Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, and we'll put a link to how to determine if your rocks are meteorites.
No problem. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Michelle, anytime you encounter a foreign object and you're not sure what it is, the best thing to do is to lick it, right?
Well, believe it or not. Well, yeah, I don't highly recommend that.
Oh,
but
all right.
Believe it or not, geologists do sometimes use a taste test because you may determine that something might be a little salty or there may be something else that some other flavor that can help identify what it is. I don't recommend anyone do that.
All right.
Especially because there may be some very dangerous materials that you might come across.
I shall stop.
Leave that test to the professionals.
Okay.
And yeah.
All right. And Dan has a question. I love astronomy. I really do. And we have Michelle Nichols on the line with us. And every time we have you or Lucianne Wachowicz on, so many people call. Dan, what is your question?
My question is, what's the difference between one coming to Earth as a rock and the other one as iron?
So that tells you the composition of the original thing that it came from. So something that's iron probably was the interior of a larger, I'm going to use a science term, planetoid, or something that was an early piece of the solar system that it was big enough that gravity pulled that material, pulled the iron into the middle. So it was the iron core of something that could possibly have become a planet at some point. And so only some of the larger stuff in the asteroid belt turns out to be iron. So that stuff tells us about planetary interiors, which we can't get to the interior of a planet because it's so far in the middle. So this is the solar system saying, hey, here's a piece of a middle. You don't have to dig down and find it yourself. Whereas the rocky stuff comes more from the crust-type material. And sometimes this stuff comes from the moon. Sometimes this stuff comes from Mars, where you might have rocks blasted off the surface. So we can learn so much about our solar system because it is bringing pieces of it to us instead of us having to go get them.
Awesome. Thank you, Dan, for calling. And it was weird when that listener called in and said, you know, I don't know why he decided to stick a magnet to it. Mm-hmm. But it is weird, you know, you wouldn't find a rock that has magnetic ability. So is that kind of a giveaway that it might be a meteorite?
Not necessarily, because here in the Chicago area especially, there's been so much manufacturing and steel mills and all that kind of stuff that you'll find magnetic stuff in all sorts of places. I mean, you could even, this is rare, but you could get something falling off an airplane or something like that. And I don't want to dismiss what he found.
Right.
It would help to look at all those pictures and definitely do a better identification. So.
All right. Well, good to know. Thank you for clearing this up. So sorry you didn't get to visualize it firsthand while it was happening, but boy, those videos are cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, just tells everybody, keep looking up.
Michelle, thanks so much. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you. You too.
Michelle Nichols from the Adler Planetarium. Adlerplanetarium.org is your best bet if you want to know more. We'll take a quick break, then some news, then my friend Leo. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, earlier in the show, we got into a discussion that I think painted me in an unfair light.
You mean the discussion about you being a bad friend?
Yeah. I think I was portrayed incorrectly.
I don't think so.
Let me just quickly set it up. My wife Terry and I were invited to our friend Joy and Leo's house for dinner on Saturday night. We quickly said yes, because who wouldn't enjoy the company of Leo and his wife Joy? We were so excited to be invited. And then he said, and we'll have chili, which I don't like at all. I just don't like chili. My wife does. So I said, we're in, but can I bring another main course dish for people who don't like chili? Me.
That's so rude.
You said it was rude, and then I think I made a good case for it, but we had many, many texters also saying, you're lucky anyone would even talk to you, much less
invite
you.
That was me.
You said that. Leo is on the line to back up this, and then the story took an even uglier turn later. I'll get to that in a little bit. Leo, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm fine, but I'm...
Listen, let me just tell you.
Sure.
I wasn't going to bring this up. Wendy, I completely agree with you.
Ah!
But I don't want to bring this up. But now that you brought it up, you brought it up to Chicago. So now that Chicago's involved,
yes.
Now I have to talk to you about it.
Yes.
Like, I was never going to ask you why you don't like chili.
Why don't you like chili, Bill?
My family was in a horrible chili accident when I was a child. A horrible chili accident.
First of all, I want to commend you, Leo, on a job well done, because if I invite somebody over for dinner, I don't have the menu or the time planned immediately. You were like, be there at 7:30. We're having chili.
Well, actually, Leo said be there at 7, and I couldn't make it at 7.
Why do you even invite him ever, Leo?
Here's the thing, Wendy, he's a great, great friend.
Oh.
He's just a bad, bad guest. Wendy, here's what we say. Wendy, we love.
Yeah.
Bill.
Yeah. No, I get it.
They're a team.
I get it. That's all right.
So, I mean, I understand, and I think it shows how good of a friendship you have.
He's one of my best friends ever.
For you to be able to say, not really a fan of chili.
Yeah.
It's just weird to me that you would say that.
But we got him other things. We got him other things.
All kinds of other things. Delicious other things.
A lot of many other things, yes. And he seemed happy. He seemed appeased.
Yes.
Even though we refer to Saturday night as Turkey Chili Gate. We will always recall that. Because it's like, well,
right.
It's going to come out. Woodward and Bernstein are working on it.
Right.
Like, I don't.
They had several foods that I did not like. And that's fine, but they also, Leo and Joy went out of their way. They brought ribs, which I enjoy, and barbecue chicken, which was so good, and a myriad of other things. It was so good.
Yes.
Loved it all.
Yes, very good.
It was all good.
We're also watching my son's dog, and I thought he just didn't like dogs. So anyways, we said, okay, you know, my son's dog is here, and he's a German Shepherd and Husky mix.
Oh, I have one of those.
Yeah, beautiful, wonderful dog. And I thought Bill was just, he felt uncomfortable or something. I thought he was scared of dogs or something. But at one point, we brought the dog from out of the guest bedroom and put him outside. And the dog just walked through the house, and I let the dog out. I come back in, and Bill's eyes, they're like, he's crying.
Yep.
I'm like, what happened? I didn't know you were allergic.
Yeah.
He's not allergic.
Oh, Leo, you saw, I'm not that good of an actor. My eyes were all watery. I couldn't stop sneezing. I was bleeding from my ears and eyes.
Did you touch him? Because typically it doesn't happen until you touch him. And you have a rabbit at your house which has fur.
That's right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. See, Leo, don't. I mean, again, as you said, a great friend, but a bad guest.
Bill has his daughter, Reese, I believe, has the rabbit.
Yes.
The best trained rabbit. I didn't even know. First of all, you walk in their house and it's like, hey, there's a rabbit walking around.
Yeah.
And then it's trained with a little clicker.
It can, right. It can do, Wendy, you laugh, and it can do calculus problems. And I don't even think you can do calculus problems.
I can't. But, you know, I have to tell you this, Leo, because this came up on the air one time, too. I made some soup. cream of chicken soup, and I had a bunch left over, so I brought some in for Kevin, and I said very nicely to Bill, I don't want you to feel left out, but I didn't bring you any soup because I know you're kind of picky and you only like lobster bisque.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was very nice, and he said, I wouldn't eat your soup anyway. And I said, why? And he said, because you have a dog.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
So have you ever, like, cooked food at your house and he's eaten it because he...
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with my dog?
I don't trust your dog. I think your dog would somehow get in and start stirring up stuff and touching food.
We have two Bichon Frises. They're hypoallergenic. It seemed like I thought you were, again, scared because whenever we'd have you guys over and they're walking around, you sort of stiffen up.
Right. I do. No, I do.
Most people loosen up when they go to a party.
I become like a board.
Bill literally, well, one time it's like, oh, we're all sitting, we're sitting playing games or something. And Bill was pulled away from the table a little bit. One of the Bichons jumped on his lap. And boy, you should have seen Bill. And I thought, oh my goodness, something's up with Bill.
Did you push it down?
No, I would never harm a dog.
No,
a cat I would, but not a dog. Yeah, I no. But Leo, you have to admit, like, all the whole time the dogs were in the room with us, the dogs took turns. They had obviously prearranged this. One of them would come right up next to me and just stare at me as if to say, if I wanted to, I could take you out.
Right. They could at any point.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
And they alternated doing that. When they would do like a... Did you ever play blackjack where one blackjack dealer is leaving and the other's coming and they just do like this hand thing to each other as if to say, I'm done and now it's your turn. The dogs do that same blackjack move with their paws.
They do that to you, yes.
Yeah.
As your rabbit does to me.
Yeah.
Your rabbit does that exactly.
Same thing, same move.
So you know, somebody has texted, Bill, did Leo have to get you different toilet paper also?
He didn't have to.
But I did.
He chose to.
You are a good friend.
Right, the Cottonelle. That's the best. The best on the market, like, Cottonelle.
How accommodating can we be?
Yeah,
we
I don't know.
See how far we can go.
I don't think you could be more accommodating. I was amazed by it. Yeah, there's a lot of people are mad at me on the text line, Wendy. I know that.
Listen, I try to defend Bill as much as possible because he doesn't hate animals. He just doesn't really want to be around them. And I do you get a lot of crap for that. So I like to stick up for you.
Thank you.
Except for the fact that you won't eat my soup.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very, you know, I have birds too. I have quite a few canaries. He doesn't seem to mind the canaries. They're loud, but I close the door so then you don't hear them.
Why do you have them over, Leo?
Oh, you know.
Because they love my wife.
And again,
Terry's a great guest.
I like you guys a lot. You guys are good friends. But you're bringing it up to Chicago.
Right, I know.
You guys aside, and I want to talk to you guys.
No, I know.
I don't know. And what's it? And why don't you really like chili? But you're bringing like 3 million people into this.
Right.
Deal. I don't know what to, now I have to talk about it.
But Leo, here's what I told Wendy earlier, and I hope you'll back me up on this. Whenever we have people over by the house, you want it to be a pleasant evening for everybody, so you wouldn't want to either serve a food that they don't like or you know, have an animal by them that could kill them. So and you subscribe to that same theory, don't you?
I do.
Yeah,
yes.
See?
I sort of do. Joy and I are very accommodating. We're good hosts. We bend over backwards, but it's getting a little tiresome. I'm just bringing it up.
No, I know. I know. I don't blame you. I get it.
Yeah.
All right. We have to get a listener involved in this because I want to let this die in a pleasurable way.
Sure.
Okay.
This is this Jerry on the line? Hey, Jerry.
Hi. I just want to ask one question. What was he supposed to do? Come to the house and eat the chili that he doesn't like?
Right.
And I thought, I thought it was very kind of him to say, I'll bring some other kind of food. I thought that was very nice. And I would have, if that was me, I would have said, oh, good, bring whatever you want. Want to answer?
I like that question. I would.
Yeah, but you didn't bring anything. You made Leo go out and buy something special for you.
I did want to go. But Jerry, someone is never going to be invited to my house, my friend. Okay, how's that? Okay, Jerry? You're
going to
put up that ass.
I love chili. Wait. I love chili.
Okay.
You know, but I'm sticking up for him. I'm still sticking up for him. I think what he did was honorable. I'll bring something.
Well, let's talk about that word honorable.
Yeah, honorable, that's a stretch.
No.
That is honorable.
No, it isn't. You just go there and take one bite and I can't eat anymore.
But Wendy,
I'm full.
It wouldn't have been just for me. My plan was to stop somewhere and get an alternate meal plan for everybody. You know, everybody could have. Yeah.
See, what a good guy he is.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right,
you're
Jerry.
A saint.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks for calling. Is she related to you?
No, I don't. Yeah, maybe, possibly.
All right, now.
Very nice. You have a very devoted fan there, but I'm going to again question the word honorable.
You don't think that's honorable? It is honorable.
I don't think she knows the meaning of the word, really. She's great, and I am going to have her over for chili, just me and Jerry. But
all right.
The first thing I'm going to talk to her is I'm going to take out a dictionary. It's like, here's honorable.
Right.
Here are honorable people.
I have to give Bill credit for speaking up. I'm not saying
Wendy,
it's nice, but
I can't tell you the debate in my head because the last thing I want to do is offend. I don't want to offend any. I don't want Leo and Joy to say, oh, Mr. Difficult. I don't want that.
But Terry let you speak up. Like if the tables were turned and Jim said, I don't like chili, I'd be like, I'll go get you a McDouble on the way. Would you just have a bite or two? And then we can, if you're still hungry, we'll pick something up on the way home.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
No, we didn't even question.
Who's honorable?
Honestly. Yeah, that's right. Who's honorable?
Thank
Jerry.
Jerry.
Leo is honorable. That's
right. You honorable. Are on. I can't argue with that. You are honorable.
We're going to have chili. I don't like chili. Okay, I'll get something else. And I'm giving out gold coins. I don't like gold. I'll give you something else. That's honorable. Okay? Jerry.
All right. Well,
we just wanted to make sure you were still friends. That's
we're still all.
We're friends forever. We are absolutely friends forever.
Although somebody texted and said, if you are such good friends, then Leo, how come you don't know he doesn't like chili?
It's never come up.
That's true. Oh. Wow. Boy, do you have a lot of friends in this city.
Yes. I know.
Not me.
Leo, thank you. We had a great time Saturday, and hopefully we can reciprocate and maybe even be invited back to your place at some point down the line.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds great. Okay. Goodbye.
Thanks,
guys.
Leo.
Take care. Thanks for having me on.
That's my
friend,
Leo.
See you,
Leo.
Bye.
Maybe you should invite me and Jim over. Jim and I would be much more pleasant.
Oh, that Leo should invite you guys over. You'd have a good time with him. He's
a
good
guy. I
like
dogs and canaries.
Yeah.
I can trim their nails. I'm not even kidding.
It's a full evening.
I used to have a canary and I trimmed its nails.
He didn't say this on air, but there was a time where there in his house, he had about 24 birds. There was an aviary as part of his house.
Wow.
And you'd go in there and there were just, you know, like parrots and pterodactyls and stuff just flying around.
You didn't go visit them during that time, did you?
I waited until that phase, went away, and then I'd come over a lot more often. Yep.
To watch Hitchcock movies.
Yes. All right, a quick break, and then more show, Bill and Wendy WGN. It's us. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200. We've gotten a gob of texts.
And I want to tell you about chili. I'm not a big fan of chili either, although I wouldn't be able to say, hey,
no,
I'm not a
you.
Big fan of chili. Could you serve something else for the dinner you've just invited me to?
I know, I get it.
But there's a shroud of mystery surrounding the beginning of chili con carne.
That's chili with meat.
Yes. Southwestern lore dates the origin to the religious trances of the mystic Lady in Blue, Sister Maria de Agreda. Sister Maria never left her home country of Spain. This is boring, but I want to tell you this. at some point, it gets more exciting.
Oh.
Spanish priests.
No,
I bored
read the boring
myself.
Part.
No.
I love the boring
Spanish
part.
Priests started talking about this potent brew, and they called it soup of the devil.
Oh, soup of the devil.
And they preached sermons against indulgence. So, soup of the devil.
That's where chili comes from?
Yes. As the Civil War ended, chili's popularity took off. By the turn of the century, chili queens lined Market Square in San Antonio.
What?
I don't know.
What would you have to do to become a chili queen?
Make a big pot of chili once a week.
I guess so.
Chili pot.
You know, I'm kind of a chili queen.
Are you a chili queen, Judy? How did you become one?
I'm actually throwing a chili cook-off this Saturday. Would you want to come, Wendy?
I don't know.
There'll be like 15 chilies you can eat.
15?
No, I have a
chili
whole pot at
all
home.
Day.
Yeah, that's...
You win prizes.
No, I just, used McCormick's seasoning, added a little Cholula, and really, I got a whole pot at home that I don't even know who's going to eat.
Yeah, all right, don't enter that one in my chili cook-off.
Kevin's in.
Yeah, you can
bring
it.
Like chili, I'll bring
you
some.
I love chili.
I have a dog.
I've had Judy's chili. It's great, too. I know you have a dog.
Thank you.
What kind of beans do you use? Pinto or kidney?
I don't use kidney. I do not like kidney. I use chili beans or white beans. I just use any beans.
Jelly beans?
Whatever I feel like. I put everything in my chili, right, including bacon.
Oh. Oh.
You can't mix meats.
It's a good touch. I agree.
Really, Wendy? Because I win a lot.
Don't question Judy. Do not question Judy Pilak.
It's the devil's soup.
It's the devil's soup. I also want to make note of this because three different people texted this in different variations. 6-0 says, dogs know, Bill, that you are petrified of them. They always go to the person that doesn't like them. Now, I'm not petrified of dogs. I don't like dogs for the most part. I don't like pets for the most part. But I do find whenever I go to somebody's house, if it's me and 15 other people, the pets will always, always, always gravitate toward me. Dogs, cats, squirrels.
It's like the De Niro thing where he points to his eyes with his two fingers and back at you. They know that you don't like them, so they're like, I'm watching you. That is what they're doing.
I think that's it. Because it's the weirdest thing. Whenever we go to anyone's house with dogs or cat or just you name the animal, they just focus in on me the whole time. And I'm not imagining it because I always say to Terry, watch what happens. It's not just me, right? She goes, no, they're all over you everywhere we go.
Do you pet them?
No.
How can you not pet a dog that has just come
over to
say,
if you didn't like
hey,
something,
buddy,
would you pet, like, pick something you don't like? Would your answer be to pet that thing
there's
you don't like?
There's nothing I don't like except chili.
If somebody had a pet pot of chili, if you went to Judy's house, you wouldn't pet the chili. No. Of course not.
Would you spit in it?
No. It's the devil's soup.
Would you spit in it?
No, I'd be afraid the devil would
get me. The devil has a short wick.
Would you throw holy water on it?
No. It's salty enough as it is. I don't
know. Is holy water salty?
I don't know.
You're going to a weird church if your holy water's salty.
It's a little salty, and yeah, maybe I've tasted it. Whatever. Bill, you pointed out earlier if you want to see what something is.
You got to taste it. You got to lick it.
You got to taste it.
No, I get it.
But I can't think of one animal if it came over to me, I wouldn't,
pet it.
Honest to God, I can't
think
of one.
That's the last thing on my mind. If I don't like an animal and then it's just staring at me, I don't want to touch it.
Would you pet a badger, Wendy?
Probably.
You would pet a badger.
If it was a tame
one. A Komodo dragon?
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah?
That's a poor choice.
What?
A wild boar.
If it didn't bite me.
There's no guarantees with the wild boar, Wendy.
I would probably put my hand down and go, hello, little boar.
All right. All right.
People say I'm a boar. That's what I would say.
Spelled differently.
Right.
We'll take a break.